The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
In a very special episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box, regular recording talking time with Juan and Gabe, and probably John, and I am Brute, I am Brute. I am Brute, I am Brute, I am Brute.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I was going to say, pretty sure I'm the one that had to pay for this. Yeah, this is
Alicia's house. Side note, just because your name is on the... Oh, shit, there's John. Are you there?
It's me, Margaret.
Hello?
You probably need to put your headphones on, why?
No.
Hello?
He's not plugged in yet, so...
Plug it in.
Hello?
Hello? Hi, there? John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Mal.
I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Hey, Ashton, hashtag not Gabe's son, really loves Finn and wants to steal him and take him back to Maryland.
So don't let her near your son.
Tell her we're going to get him right now, so if she wants to come visit later, she can.
Carissa. I think she's leaving today. Yay, it's Carissa. She's my favorite.
I love Carissa.
Wow, I do so loud too.
We're
going to
all
house.
Steal Carissa.
Okay.
Let me turn John on.
Don't you always?
Are you still there?
Yes.
Alright, check, check, say something, check, check.
Check, 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 Czechoslovakia.
Oh. Okay, we're good. Gabe just brought us in and we're recording, so
oh.
This is kind of happening right now.
Oh, okay.
Now.
And we're back!
Hi, John!
Hi, Gabe.
Oh, we should say who we are. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box, episode 60. And you're listening to us talk about stuff. My name's Gabe.
I'm Juan.
My name's John.
John is in the car.
I am in the cars.
Hopefully he's using his hands-free device.
Carissa.
Oh, yeah. Is that my penis?
Whoa. Jesus.
Got weird.
Already.
So
can she hear us? Are we on speakerphone?
You're on speakerphone.
Oh, God. She's going to kill us today.
Yeah.
So,
She's putting on her face. She doesn't care.
Oh. Is John blending again?
Yes.
I kind of want to see pictures of John with makeup that Carissa does on him now.
No, he was doing her
so
makeup.
Hot. He's got, like, the best eyelashes, but I don't know about the beard.
So, apparently, my customers decided that we're going to have a drag show at the comic book store at some point, and everybody's going to dress me up as Aquaman in drag.
Nice.
Nice. Wouldn't that just be Mera?
No.
Those are clearly two separate characters, Juan.
Yeah. God damn it. I didn't say Mera in drag. I said Aquaman in drag.
Second, I'm plugging my phone.
Yeah, he's being a bitch. Already it starts.
So I didn't get to go to the I Am Brute thing, which is probably going to be in front of this episode, I'm guessing. So why don't you guys give me a quick recap? Like, how did all that go?
Well, John spoke to everybody, so why don't you say some stuff, John? You got to speak to some cool people, no?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Like, we talked to Chris again from Denver Comic Con, and what was the other gentleman's name?
Bruce.
The engineer guy?
Engineer guy.
Bruce.
Bruce. Yeah.
Bruce,
who's the director of programming for Denver Comic Con, even though we couldn't hear a fucking word because everybody at our table was singing to the songs.
They were very loud. Our table
okay.
was.
Shut up. It was a good time. And then we interviewed a bunch of people that wanted free shit. That was cool.
Yeah. John gave away a lot of free shit.
So it was fun. I mean, I thought it was awesome. I think I kind of liked the other band that they had last year better. Personally,
Carissa, yep.
But I like the venue. It was nice. It was big and open. You know, they put on a heck of a party. So
I kind of wish that they would find a place that was the same foot as the up and the down, but in one level.
What do you mean, same foot?
Same footage? Yeah. Because it is like even if we were just talking, like having a conversation, it is very fucking loud in those little spaces.
Yeah.
So. the question that I would have that neither of you have mentioned at all, how was the beer?
It was okay.
It was good. I mean,
it was okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's a Pilsner. It's like a Bud Light or a Coors.
It's
like,
a light beer.
It's just a normal beer.
But, like, if you're more into, like, you know, little stronger tasting beers, you know, it's a little light. So, it was good. It was good. It's just, you know, I like darker stuff.
It's not
so.
Something I think you would consider, like, a craft beer almost.
It just,
you know,
kind of,
I mean,
tastes like a regular ass beer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right.
So, I'll like this beer probably the best of all of them.
It's an easy to drink beer that you get to drink a lot of and get in trouble with.
Right.
Well, I like the years past because they were a little different. The Snapricot was apricot and it was just something different. It wasn't something you could drink
that.
On the it wasn't something you could just drink on the lawnmower while you're mowing your lawn, you know. It was I mean, not that you couldn't, but I don't know.
The glasses were super cute though.
Yeah, the dude that did the art this year nailed it.
I'm gonna try and get him on the show again.
Nice.
I'm going to try and make that some kind of tradition.
The artist.
He already said he'd be on, so I just got to find the time.
Well, and they didn't really, and maybe it was because we got there super early, but, like, you know, last year Frankie had a booth, for lack of a better word, you know, where he had a table and he had all of his signage up and he was, you know, selling prints and signing glasses, and I don't feel that the guy this year, it's Noah, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because we got there so early, but, you know, I didn't see any of that. And then we tried to go find him, and nobody was around. So,
to be fair, Frankie does that at every event he attends.
That's true. That's smart.
But he said that I posted up the pictures on our Twitter account about of the glass, and he's like, "Oh, you didn't let me sign it." And I was like, "I went to look for you, and you couldn't be found."
Right.
So, but I agree with you. There wasn't, it was different because last year I think a few people had like real like booth setups.
Right.
But I didn't see anybody that this year with that.
And it kind of sucks because like we were upstairs and the upstairs was definitely not this, like you said, not the same square footage as below because there was a giant gaping hole in the floor right in the middle of everything. And so, I don't know. It was fun, though. It was cool. It was fun. I love that we go do that every year, and it's kind of a thing. And now we have, like, you know, contacts where we can actually make that a permanent thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm just gonna start emailing Chris and Bruce to see if they'll give me permission to do that. Because this roundabout shit is no good.
Right.
I don't – So that leads into the press thing. We'll skip that for now, but 700 people he said came to the event.
Right.
And I think he said they went through 70 kegs, if I'm right, if I remember.
Wow. I don't remember that.
I think it was something fucking crazy that he said they went through.
That is a lot of fucking beer.
But they ran out of the brute that they had brought, just like they did last year. I don't even know if you guys remember if that was the thing the year before either.
I bet they do that.
The mango
every
year they ran out too.
Yeah, the mango year they ran out.
But he said it was a small, but it was an uptick from the amount of people who came last year as well.
Because last year it was at 1UP, right?
No, last year it was at Stoney's.
Oh, okay.
Off of I think Broadway.
Yeah, we didn't do the year before.
The 2 years before it was at 1UP.
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
But it's outgrown 1UP. Like, I don't think if they had 700 people.
No,
there,
yeah, 700
this time,
people don't
it
fit in there.
Fit. Stoney's was nice. I like Stoney's. Stoney's was good.
Open because it's kind of open to the outside. Like, they don't have anything on that wall, and so it seemed a little more open. I think some of the sound travels out that way.
Sure, absolutely.
It's nice. If I wouldn't have started a job like 4 days before, I totally would have gone with you guys because my schedule is a little more flexible than it used to be. But it was like literally day four, new place. So,
right.
But
Ryan had said that like voting wise, they got a huge uptick in new people that are submitting names and voting on the beer and. So it's cool. I like it's neat to see that it's something that's progressing every year and getting larger and larger and larger.
It's just a cool idea too. Like, I don't think any of the other conventions really do that, do they?
Not that I know of, but I don't know many.
There are a couple, but I don't know that it's to that extent.
where it's like a yearly, like annual, like every year we do the cool glass, every year we do the cool beer. Like, just seems like a very Colorado thing to do.
Fucking granolas.
Right. Oh, so much dead air. Cause,
that's all right.
Because of the weird driving noise. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
Well, I think he's blaming you, though.
No,
why would he do that, John?
It's fine.
Why would he do such a thing?
I'm just saying, it's
just
like
trying to come back and join the team, and I'm getting chastised for it.
It's just because every time we're all quiet, there's and it weirds me out because I'm stupid. Shut up. Okay, so I'm going to start with something real quick.
I was going to have him not spoil Wonder Woman for us, but tell us his thoughts.
Oh my God, it's fucking amazing.
Agreed. It was so good.
Oh, you saw it too?
Yeah, we went and saw it yesterday.
Oh, nice, huh?
Nice.
So I have to say, this is by far the best DC movie that's come out. That's like kind of in that new Justice League like buildup.
Yeah.
I mean, just hands down the absolute best one. Like, I want all of my daughters to see it. Like, so that they can be like, oh, you can be loving and kind and also whip the shit out of, like, all sorts of stuff? Awesome.
Right.
Is it the best comic book movie that's come out?
I would definitely put it in the top five.
Yeah, it is up there,
I mean, it is way up there when it comes to, like, I forget who it was. It may have been Frosty, I think, from CCBE. Posted that this is his favorite Marvel movie so far because it's the first time DC has made like a comic book movie that feels like a Marvel movie. Like,
did you see the meme about how people were afraid of the precedent that this would set, this movie?
Yeah, that DC movies would be good again. Like, it makes me really excited to see Aquaman for sure.
Yes.
I'm
a little sad that Aquaman's not going to be the saving, you know, factor of but I'm glad that Wonder Woman nailed it out of the park.
Is Aquaman ever the saving factor, though, John?
Always. He's always the saving factor.
I was just double-checking. I wasn't sure.
Did it touch base on any other movies or heroes or anything?
Nope. Yeah. At the very, very beginning, it kind of touches base with Batman because, like, the whole impetus for it is that he sends her a copy of the picture that he found.
Found the original.
Yeah.
He finds the original and sends that to Diana.
He has a note that says, you know, I have a copy of this. Maybe someday you'll tell me the story. And then she goes through the story behind the picture. And that's kind of like...
Like a flashback movie.
Yeah. The whole movie effectively is a giant flashback. It's dude, it's fucking awesome. Like, so there's this scene where, like, a lot of the action, especially in Batman versus Superman, seemed like really, like, overtly violent. Like, Batman came across as like an MMA fighter, not so much as a superhero, which makes a lot of sense because he's just like a normal dude. But like Wonder Woman, when she fights, is clearly a superhero. Like, she does crazy shit that's like impossible to do, and it looks so seamlessly good. Like, there's a scene where she like kind of falls in through a window, fights a room of guys, and then like rising knee kicks a dude out the other side of the room and is like flying through the air, like all slow motion, like Hong Kong action film style. And I was like, this is what all of these fucking movies should have looked like. Like, how did you miss the mark so hard?
It wasn't so brooding like the others.
Yeah, like, it's hopeful. Like, it's fun.
And she nails funny. Like the innocence, because she's never been exposed to the world of man, and like her interactions with Chris Pine and everybody else, you know, in man's world are perfect because she has no. She has no frame of reference, you know, like she's asking, why are those people holding hands? And he's like, you know, because they like each other. And so she grabs his hand and he's like, no.
Not that way.
We're not together.
Oh, so shit, I would have grabbed her hand.
You know, she's asking, you know, what do you guys, what happens when you're not at war? And he's like, yeah, you know, you have breakfast.
And it was kind of cool.
Read the newspaper.
It was kind of cool, though, because Chris Pine, you know, had been to war. He was a spy. He had seen some terribly awful things. But when he looked at her, they were kind of in the same boat as far as the love was concerned.
Yeah.
Because she asked him, like, you know, what do people do? And he said, they get up, they get married, they have children. And she's like, what's that like? And he's like, I have no idea. So they were kind of on the same page that way, which I thought was kind of cool because he had seen all these awful, terrible things throughout the war, but he was still so innocent. And the way he looked at her was just, like, amazing. I don't know. I was...
No, it was... Yeah. I'm 100% with you on that. Like, it definitely, their body language with each other
yes.
is so evocative of, like, an actual relationship
yep.
that's just kind of starting. I mean, they both absolutely nail their parts. One thing that I really thought was awesome, too, was in reference to the comic books, they used a lot of the really, really old Wonder Woman characters, like... One of the main villains is Dr. Poison, who's like
right.
one of the oldest like DC villains, and like Etta Candy's in it and all of that stuff. And it's really cool that they like pushed all the way back to that to tell the World War I era Wonder Woman story so that they can pay homage to like all that original content without having to, you know, pigeonhole some older character into like a newer plot line in the future. Like it was really cool. Like just it treats Wonder Woman with a lot more respect than I think a lot of DC's characters have been treated with. You know, Superman has the potential to be like an amazing movie because we all saw the Christopher Reeves version of it, but in an attempt to update it and make it edgy, they fucked it up. You know, and they did the same thing with Suicide Squad. If they would have just told the regular Suicide Squad story, you know, respected the source material a little better, like what's everybody's main complaint with Jared Leto's Joker is that this weird updated gangster version of him is annoying because he's not the Joker really for people. Instead of trying to change Wonder Woman from what she is, they like really respected the source material and just made a great movie out of what was already there. Like it was really cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, you know, Guardians and Captain America Winter Soldier are probably Guardians Volume 1 and Captain America Winter Soldier are probably like my two favorite superhero movies, and Wonder Woman's right up there.
I don't know. Civil War was the one. That was the one with everybody in it.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man and all them.
I honestly think, like, if I had to say my top, like, three superhero movies, I would probably say, Guardians Volume 2, Ant-Man, and Wonder Woman right now.
Like, that's cool.
Like, Ant-Man is so perfectly executed, like, on the humor level that they haven't done very...
I forget he even made a movie.
Dude, it's like, it's the best one. It's like, it's my favorite. I don't know.
That's cool.
But Wonder Woman was fantastic.
Nice.
Like, I'm excited to see it.
Everybody should see it. It's awesome.
So, speaking of things that...
Was there an after credit scene?
No.
Yeah,
oh,
DC...
Wow.
So,
did
DC
they not
doesn't
do, that?
Do that?
I can't remember.
Uh-uh.
I think they did it for Suicide Squad, but they didn't do it for anything else.
I don't think they're doing it for any of the Justice League movies. They do have a new opening credit scene. You know how like Marvel recently changed like their opening title scene?
Right.
So their new scene is like these cool like semi-illustrative animations of the Justice League, and then it pans out to show like... the overall like DC universe.
Nice.
Like it was pretty cool. Like it's just a really cool picture.
What DC movie's next? Is it Justice League?
And then Aquaman, right?
Aquaman's not until December of next year, so I don't know.
Probably Flash then.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Flash has got no director.
I was gonna say they've had a lot of trouble finding people who want to make that movie.
Right.
There's a fat guy that I listen to that would probably be into it.
He said he put a tweet out there and said that, you know, he didn't specifically mention him, but he says, I know somebody who probably wouldn't say no.
wink.
Have you guys talked about the whole the Zack Snyder stepping away because his daughter committed suicide stuff?
No,
we have not.
Today we literally, as soon as you got on, we literally just started recording.
Okay, so that happened a couple weeks ago where Zack Snyder stepped away from all of the DC stuff because his daughter committed suicide while she was in college, which is a horrible thing. Like, that's...
Yeah, like...
I didn't even know that happened until... I must not read a lot of news, because I didn't even know that happened until he stepped away. I was like, why
I think they were really trying to keep it quiet. Like, I think stepping away from stuff was I think he didn't want to do it, because from everything I read, that was how he was kind of working through it.
Right.
By doing the movies, he kind of didn't have to necessarily deal with the death of his daughter. And at the same time, you know, it was an outlet for him. So, but like, holy shit, that's awful. And now Joss Whedon has come in to, I don't know that he's got, you know, the reins for directorial stuff, this other than Batgirl, but he's working with Warner Brothers and doing some tweaks in the post-production stuff for Justice League.
Which I was going to say, I can't imagine him being able to change the movie right. all that much, because it's pretty not. Much all
it's
done.
It's almost all done, yeah. It's just, like, it. The thing that sucks the most about it is the fact that somebody had to go out of their way to say, hey, if you're going to make fun of Zack Snyder for leaving these movies, like, you're a piece of trash. Like, somebody...
Right.
Like, people are so fucking idiotic on the internet sometimes that they feel the need to, like, I mean, just literally dog a guy whose daughter committed suicide. Like,
right.
What fucking human garbage? Like, yep. it irritates me more than anything. It's like, sometimes the fandom just wants to be upset for no reason. Like the whole, you know, all woman screenings of Wonder Woman.
Oh my God.
And that there's these people that actually give a fuck about that. Shut up. If you want to have an all dude screening of Wonder Woman, then fucking hire out a movie theater and do it. Like, make it happen. Nobody's stopping you, so shut up. Like,
right.
It's just that shit annoys me so much. Just enjoy the things that you enjoy. And if you don't like, you know, if you don't like a product that's meant to entertain you, sure, rip apart the product. But the people that make it, like, that's their living and they're just doing their jobs. And like, when shitty stuff happens in your life, sometimes you have to walk away from a job. Fucking deal with it,
and
you assholes.
What shittier thing could happen than your child committing suicide?
Exactly. Like, who in the world says something about that?
Right.
I mean, I feel like watching Zack Snyder in a room with whatever, you know, dog shit asshole said that would just be entertaining, because Zack Snyder could take out all his grief on that idiot.
Yeah.
Like, two men enter, one Zack Snyder leave.
Put him in there with the Justice League.
Right? Like, if Zack Snyder needs anything, he needs a superhero right now to say, hey, yeah, it's going to be all
right. Right.
Big old hug from Swamp
Man. Somebody made it. Somebody took us to a sad place.
That's okay, though. No, I mean, it's...
It's out there. It needs to be spoken about.
You know, it kind of sucks. You think about these people that, you know, make movies and do all these things to entertain us, and we're so obsessed with, like, their lives that when something tragic happens, they can't just... Like, if my child committed suicide, like, I would have my friends and family around me, but it's not going to be, like, a news article on the internet, you know?
But sometimes sometimes I think the problem is we forget that they're real people. We forget that because they have millions of dollars that they don't, we pretend they don't have problems.
Or feelings.
And so, yeah. And so when something like this happens, I think people forget that, you know, they have problems just like any one of us. It's just... Yeah, it's just crazy. I don't know.
But I think people pick apart stuff because, you know, like, maybe they're just not happy in their own lives. But it's really hard to, like, I don't understand how people don't put themselves in other people's shoes and try to find, like, positivity. Like, that's terrible. And instead of relating to that and saying, we're so sorry, they go somewhere else. And I think that that really sucks in general, because even when you guys, you know, start picking apart movies or whatever, there's still... good things that happen, right? Like, I mean, I just think people, and I'm sure it's in every industry, but for some reason, like, because I'm the wife of a comic book owner, you know, it's like, you point out, people come in and they're like, that movie was awful, it was terrible, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys, like, this is like third world problems, right? Like, I mean, seriously, it's a movie, relax, don't get all nutso. People just get so involved in this stuff, and it's like, oh my God, I don't know. It just drives me nuts a little bit, because it's like, this is a movie. It is the terrible things that are happening in our world now. Like, really, it's a movie.
Right. It's a movie that you get to go fucking see on the movie theater. You get to see Wonder Woman as a live-action person. Like,
and meanwhile, nobody's, like, blowing you up.
Yeah, like, exactly. All of the bullshit, you know, we should be fortunate that we live in a time that we can see this shit happen on the big screen instead of just reading comic books. But, you know, rather than that, people want to tear it apart because it makes them feel better about their sorrowful, pitiful lives.
You know, and like, I 100% feel that. And I think one thing that maybe we don't, like, express all the time, like, sure, there's a ton of movies we don't like and TV shows that we think are stupid. But, like, I respect the people that make them still.
Yep.
Like, right. I respect the fact that putting out, like, a 90-minute piece of trash movie that I absolutely hate is still somebody's livelihood and is still, like, a fucking gigantic accomplishment that I have absolutely never come close to doing.
Right. Like, nobody could, you can't, I couldn't make a movie.
Hell,
you know,
no.
What I mean? That's not in my, you know, so you gotta give people credit where credit is due, that they tried. Maybe it wasn't something that you absolutely loved, but somebody, maybe somebody else did. Like, that's what, you know, and comic books are the same way, right? Like, you don't like every single comic book that's out there, but you have to give props to people who can draw, who can write, who can color, who can do all that stuff, because that's not something I can even come close to. So I have to appreciate that for what it is. It's still art, and it's still, you know, I mean, come on.
I mean, that's kind of why I like talking with, like, inkers and colorists and stuff like that, because they don't, like, in the comic book industry, they don't necessarily get the respect they deserve. I know that I can't make a comic book vividly colored the way, you know, somebody like the guy whose name I forget that we talked to last episode, who was
Nick Filardi.
Like, I can't do that. Like, I've looked at the comic books that he's colored, and they're fucking amazing. Like, when I look at, like, the adult coloring books that I've colored in, they don't look like that. They look like a fucking child colored them in very precisely, you know? Like,
he's out of the lines, and it's just all over the place.
This is a sun. I make it with a yellow crayon.
I drew a turkey with my hand.
Oh, man. Like, it's just, it's one of those things that, like, no matter how shitty I am about a movie or a TV show, like, or a comic book or whatever, like, the people that make that stuff, I respect that. Even the band that we talked to that I wasn't like, oh, that's not my favorite kind of music, but I can relate to the fact that they fucking put out, like, 3 albums, and that's hard fucking work, because that's shit that I've done before. And, like, they deserve the respect of, you are creating something, like, you've honed your craft to the point where people intentionally listen to you. Like, so, I mean,
I think that's a part of our mantra as a podcast, as the 3 of us. You know, I don't give a fuck what it is that you're putting out.
We just
want to talk to you about your process and how it made you feel and what you thought about when it came out.
Because
that's what we do.
Because it would be fun someday to ask somebody, how did you feel about that movie that you made that was awful?
And ultimately, there's an audience for everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, like, I want to watch Blood Drive.
I don't order the Jungle Fantasy, creepy, rapey, porno comics at my store to put on the rack.
Yeah, Michael.
There are people that want that, so.
Michael Kirk.
Well, that's just like, so we were supposed to go on a date with him and Nora, his wife, to go see Baywatch. And I guess Nora went and saw it on her own because she loves Zac Efron. And we were talking at dinner last night, and I asked her, I was like, well, how was Baywatch? And she's like, it's terrible. And I was like, well, that's okay, because I like a lot of terrible movies. Like, I like Happy Gilmore, and that's horrible. And so, you know, I still want to see it because it looks fun and ridiculous. And sometimes you need that, just kind of trashy, you know, mindless, dumb movie.
Sometimes I don't understand how people don't go into a movie like that expecting it to be what I expect. Like, I expect Baywatch to be over the top sexually and the jokes to be corny. That's what I expect going into that movie.
So there's a guy on NPR that reviews movies for, like, the Greeley NPR station. I can't remember his name, but, like, he can't watch a movie and not, like, actually, like, pick it apart, like, critically and intelligently.
and he watched Baywatch and picked apart like The Rock's acting skills and how the jokes aren't, you know, tersely written and all these things. I was like, you're aware that you're fucking watching Baywatch, right? Yeah. Like that at no point in time, even when it was like a serious like crime drama TV show, at no point in time did that show take itself fucking seriously. Like, why in the world are you pretending like anybody gives a shit what you think about Baywatch? Like, the people that are gonna go watch it are going to go watch it absolutely no matter what you think of that movie.
And we actually had this conversation last week about Critics. That's coming out today or tomorrow. John, you weren't here for that conversation, but I personally feel like it would be almost a service to the movie industry if critics in general were not allowed to put out a critique of a movie until after the movie came out. Because that way people could go see it and go watch and then hear word of mouth and kind of make their own decision as to whether or not they're going to go see that movie. I think critics put a lot of people off when they do put out a critique, and it just fucking destroys the movie.
Especially for movies that maybe just aren't for everybody. Like, that, I think the specific example we were giving was Tusk. Like, I think there's a lot of people that would have gone to seen it if they just knew it was a campy horror movie, but because critics, like, just kind of shit all over it because it wasn't exactly like every other Kevin Smith movie, that people just didn't go see, like, a genuinely disturbing, really weird, mildly funny, like, body horror movie that has a very specific audience that would have absolutely loved to see it in the theater but didn't because critics were so shitty about it.
Well, and we've talked about this before. Like, I don't know when everybody gave a shit about Rotten Tomatoes scores. You know, like, I just don't know when that became a thing. It's so weird. It's just so weird to me.
I mean,
like, you know,
I'm kind of at that point where I got
93% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, no, don't go see it. Go see it because you want to go see it.
Yeah. I think I've gotten to that point where there's like, there's a few critics whose opinions I respect, and I'll like read what they have to say about something. But if they don't have anything to say about something, I'll just make the decision myself. Like, it's easier that way. I do what I want.
That's right.
Speaking of like trashy, like movies that are like TV shows that just totally aren't worth watching, but are hilarious and awesome to me. So every once in a while, Netflix picks up like a huge swath of like Canadian television. Okay.
Trailer Park Boys?
No.
That's an awesome show.
So that show's mildly humorous.
Bubbles is phenomenal.
Bubbles is absolutely the best part of that show.
It's a Sasquatch.
So
I got James Sasquatch.
Oh man. So as part of like one of their latest like CBC acquisitions, they picked up these two shows. One is called Portals into the Unknown and the other one is called Occult Crimes. So the Occult Crimes is like one of those like reenacted documentary crime shows that's about like death cults like killing people, and then Portals to the Unknown is like unsolved mysteries but all in Canada. Like, it is,
that's awesome.
It is like the best 90s crime and like mystery shows, except for with slightly better special effects. It's because it's slightly newer. They're fucking hilarious. Like, and none of the stories are stories that I've ever heard before, you know, because like Unsolved Mysteries, like I watched the shit out of that when I was a kid, and all those like ridiculous shows like that. And, you know, all the ghost TV shows have gone to the same places in the United States. So all of the stories are like new stories to me because they're all Canadian, and like the people are so weirdly polite in all of them. I don't know. It's just, it's hilarious. It's like even their crime TV shows are a little less intense than like American TV shows. Maybe partially because a lot of their experts speak French, so they're all like overdubbed with this guy. But the overdub is, and then the criminal severed the head from their bodies and dissolved them in acid in their bathtubs. Like, it's like these crazy, like,
super
calm,
nonchalant,
like, calm, soothing voice talking about, like, the absolute most horrendous murder, like, you've ever heard of. It's, they're fucking amazing. Like, the shows are so great. So, yeah. So there's one about this, like, Santeria practitioner in, like, Matamoros, Mexico, and he, like, literally has this cauldron that he, like, chops people up in and, like, cooks them in to gain their powers. And the guy's like, within the cauldron were the skulls of 11 bodies. It's like, holy shit. Like,
wow.
I mean, so it's just these super disturbing stories told in, like, the most soothing, like, Canadian translator voice of, like, all time. I don't know. I fall asleep to it all the time. Like, Mel's like, don't turn that on because I'll fall asleep to, like, stories of people getting chopped into pieces. I was, yeah, like, isn't it amazing?
The nicest, calmest, most horrible nightmares you'll ever have.
Exactly. It's like... You're having a dream.
I'm
going to
stab
somebody.
You now, and I'm, yeah, going to take out your innards. I'm going to make a lovely stew with them.
things will be coming out of your body that you don't want to come out of your body, but it'll be all right because we're Canadian.
I'm going to put a little maple syrup on it, eh?
For some reason, our bacon's just ham. That American bacon's far too flavorful. Bye, Canadian listeners. Oh, man. I don't know. They're awesome shows. I love the random shit that I find on Netflix. So
that's cool.
Oh, what? Speaking of that, this movie is pretty old. I think it's like 4 or 5 years old. But Mel was out of town, and, like, you know, so Bailey wasn't there to stay up late. The girls were in bed. And Ashton's like, let's watch, like, something that's scary and, like, funny at the same time. So I put on Dead Snow. Have you guys seen this? So it's a German movie about these five kids that go up into, like, the mountains.
A poopy movie?
Huh?
A poopy movie?
A poopy movie?
Scheiße Film.
These four teenagers go into this cabin. They just all shit on each other's chests. It's amazing. Ashton loved it. No, so they go up to this cabin in the woods, right? You know, and it's all snowy and everything because it's the Alps and it's Germany or whatever. But in the mountains are literal Nazi zombies that are, like, hunting Jew gold, which is unreal, hilarious to me. But it has these, like, amazing homages to Evil Dead. Like, the whole movie is, like, this kind of send-up for Evil Dead to the point where the weakest, like, most timid of the characters ends up cutting off his own arm with a chainsaw while wearing a blue button-down shirt. Like, I mean, That's awesome. Is, like, literally just torn completely from Evil Dead, right? And he bandages up his arms so that, you know, he'll be okay. And then as soon as he's done cutting off his arm, a zombie comes up out of the snow and bites him right on the balls. And the guy looks down at his dick because he's about to amputate it. And his friend's like, no, don't do that. Like, it's fucking hilarious. I don't know. It's just...
That sounds hilarious.
It is. It's super funny. It's just a great send-off to, like, those shitty, like, 80s, like, zombie movies, like Return of the Living Dead and Evil Dead and stuff like that. And I don't know. Totally worth watching. If you have Netflix, check out Dead Snow. There's a sequel, too, that apparently is Communist Zombies versus Nazi Zombies, and I really want to see that. So, I don't know.
That sounds horrible.
There's probably listeners that, like, all commies are zombies. And lizard people.
People, I'm rooting for the Nazis.
Jeez. Hashtag Juan's rooting for the Nazis.
Oh, hashtag Juan's brown power.
That was the Scheiße.
Whole new meaning to brown power.
Poopy.
Oh, in Germany, we love all of our movies with Scheiße.
You're not doing this. You gotta do this.
Speaking of Evil Dead, I binge watched both seasons and they're fucking amazing.
I watched.
My son loves Pablo. I don't know if you guys have seen any of it, but Johnny absolutely loves Pablo. And he's like the fucking weirdest, weakest member of the group.
Nice.
It's so funny. It's definitely over the top, just like the movie was. It takes you back to the cabins where the movies were. Lucy Lawless is amazing. Even though that's a weird sentence to say, but
fat.
Wow,
Gabriel, Giannis.
What?
He's been watching Xena a lot.
I know. Oh, warrior princess. He does
Yeah, that's his O face. That's what he screams.
That's terrifying.
Right? Wouldn't that scare the shit out of you if that was on top of you? Oh, wow. I don't know what just happened. That was weird.
My wife's interrupting.
Yeah, she's showing us her O-face.
Moo.
Moo?
Interrupting cow.
Oh.
Do I need to tell the joke?
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
No. I don't really have much of anything.
So we are ready to pick the kids up down here in spring, so I'm going to have to cut off for a little bit, but I'll try to come back on after we get them.
Well, let's take a break.
Yeah. You want to take us out, John?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Alex. I write Arcadia for Boom Studios, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
John, hey, John, I want to buy a bunch of comic books. Where should I go?
You can do that, Gabe. All you have to do is go to www.halljusticecomics.com.
What?
That's right. Your one-stop source for what you see is what you get back-issue comics.
What?
New comics.
What?
Trade paperbacks.
What?
Supplies.
What?
And all kinds of other cool nerd shit.
Awesome. What?
That's right. Stop by at halljusticecomics.com for all of your nerd obsessions. You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Hall of Justice Comics, Twitter at HOJ Comics, or Instagram at HOJ Comics.
Okay, we're recording.
And we're back! John's not here right now, so.
We have to deal with horrible Gabe.
I did my best with horrible Gabe. Oh, man. So I have more things to go over. Neil Blomkamp, the guy that...
Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
Oh, all right. I just thought it was Blomkamp.
Yeah, Blomkamp. Neil Blomkamp, who's from South Africa.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why he has that name.
Hmm.
But if you don't know, he's the guy that directed Chappie and...
He was going to do the next Alien.
Yeah. What's the section... Shit.
District
9. 13. Nine? Okay.
Are you sure you know what we're doing here?
No. Anyway, he's releasing like some short films that are called Oats.
Yes, I put the trailer up on our Facebook page.
There was a trailer for, and they're going to be on Steam, which I thought was kind of interesting, which if you're not familiar with that, is kind of like it's kind of like on-demand video game stuff. So instead of going to like a store and buying a box that has like the DVD of like the latest expansion of whatever game that you want. You just have a Steam account and you buy the game on Steam and download it. And what's cool about it is it transfers. So like if you sell your computer or get a new computer, it has what you've purchased on Steam. And so you don't need to like go out and purchase a new copy of it or worry about installing it.
Okay.
You know, you just say, okay, these are the games I want on this new computer. And it puts them on your computer. So
nice. It's
pretty cool. But it's interesting. Like it's an interesting place to put them. The preview looked amazing. Like, I mean, it looked like something I want to watch.
Right.
So hopefully at some point I'll figure out how to watch it legally. Yeah.
Adam Workman sent me that trailer because I don't know anything about it.
Nice.
So he sent us the trailer.
It was it's really cool looking. Like, and I'm interested to see people. I think it came out already and I haven't really heard much about it yet, but I'm excited to see it. Looks nice. Cool.
I don't know anything about it.
It's another space alien movie because that's what he excels at. So, I guess kind of in the same vein, talking about like video games and stuff like that. placed little kid toys going on in the background. It'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
PlayStation on the PlayStation 4 they released, and they probably released it on everything. It's just I only have a PlayStation 4. They released Marvel Heroes Omega, which is there was a video game called Marvel Avengers Alliance. I think all the way back to like PS2 maybe. I don't know. But it's kind of like a Diablo sort of game, but with the Marvel superheroes. So this is kind of like the massive multiplayer version of that, plus like a storyline mode and, you know, all the kind of purchasables that it's like a free game and it's a free download, but you can buy all the like extra stuff to like get through the game so that you're more competitive online, that sort of stuff. But so that came out this week, and I mean, I've leveled up my Ghost Rider to like level 23, so it's a lot of fun. Like,
what a loser!
It's just kind of basically a Diablo knockoff, nice. You know. But I get to be Ghost Rider, and that's awesome. You know, roar my motorcycle, like literally pull cookies around bad guys on my motorcycle till they catch on fire and die. Like, it's awesome. So it's like, I don't know, it's a lot of fun.
Nice. I like it. I don't like video games.
Every once in a while, I get a video game bug, and I'll play like a video game for a little while, like kind of obsessively.
Me
and
too.
And then I'll be done with it.
Yeah, and I never finish games.
Neither do I. Like, I'm really bad about finishing games. There's probably like 3 unfinished games on my PS4 right now. Let's see.
I watched 4 seasons of Sliders recently.
Nice.
I'm on my 5th one, but it's the hardest one to watch.
Because it's the worst one?
Because it's I don't remember the last time I even watched this full season. I remember every episode from every other season.
Right.
But I don't remember watching this one because it's when they lost their 2 leads and Rembrandt had to become kind of the new de facto leader because he's the only one who stayed on for all 5 seasons.
Okay.
And there's this two new leads, and it's just not as good. Sci-fi ended up picking it up back in the 90s for the last 2 seasons, and this last season is just you can tell it's not as good. I put something on Twitter because I'd been tweeting some things out as I watched them, and I put something out there like, oh, you know, this is the last episode with Jerry O'Connell and his brother in it, and I can't remember if we start to go uphill or downhill from here. And Jerry O'Connell liked my tweet. It just made me laugh.
That's funny.
But it's okay. I want to see it through because I don't remember the last time I saw the whole series.
Like, actually finish
and so
it.
I want to watch the whole thing. So I'm excited to, even though it's not as good, I'm excited to kind of see it all over again. So, I watched Alien Covenant.
You did?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It felt more like a bridge to the next movie than it did an actual sequel to Prometheus. So it didn't feel like it. No, Matt will hate this one as well. So it didn't feel like a sequel. It didn't feel like it was. It felt like something in the middle. It didn't feel like it progressed the story anymore. And okay. what I
Matt really well.
yeah. I mean, the cool thing is you get something like Aliens. It like Aliens wasn't. There was no story in Alien, you know what I mean? The first one, aside from they landed on this planet and there's these crazy aliens and they tried to
and
stay
like
alive.
Everybody dies except for that
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Covenant was. It was like an Alien original movie. Like it, I was hoping to feel to find progression, not just another Alien movie.
Right.
So it was good in the sense that you got 2 new life forms. One that looked a lot like the aliens that we know. And I don't know if I'm going to spoil the movie for you or if you care if you're going to go see it or not, whatever. But spoilers for whoever else is not, you know, haven't seen it yet in 2 weeks from now. But
la, 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 la. No.
But so it's they're telling the story Obviously, David is the bad guy. I'm guessing that you knew that from Prometheus.
Right.
But it's almost like he's the creator to what we saw in the first three movies.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's where it's going, is that that David, the android, was the progenitor to the aliens that we know. So it's great. I like that. I like that it sets up tonally. It sets up something that's really giant. It just doesn't really move the story forward. You see, I don't know if did you watch the prologues?
I watched one of them.
One of them?
The only one I saw was the Last Supper one.
Okay, there was another one that came out, I think like a week or two before the movie came out, and I told this story so the people hear it twice in this same episode. But, In that prologue, you see what happened in the middle of where, because we know that the David ship has landed on this new planet that these people are going on. So it shows a little bit of what happened when they left the LV planet in Prometheus to how they got to the engineer planet. So she puts him back together. Like, he talks about how he loved her, like, he's never felt so much kindness from a human being before, so he loved her for it, and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes into the stasis pod that the engineers were in, and he puts her to sleep because it's going to be whatever amount of years to get to the next planet. And at the end of the prologue, you see them coming into the engineer city. And into the middle of a square of some sort, and then it cuts off with him looking down onto the engineers. And the shitty thing about this movie is that it didn't. There's no storyline to the engineers at all. Like, you in the movie, they write it off like that, because the prologue ends there, and then in the movie you see him releasing all of the black goo that they have onto the planet, and it just destroys all of the engineers, and that's it. Like, that's all for their story. He doesn't really explain why he did it, or the whole point of Prometheus was to go get answers from these people, and it was almost like they didn't care to have those answers anymore. So you don't get that kind of end satisfaction to that, which sucks. And
do you think they might be inadvertently painting themselves into a corner where they like developed a plot line? They're like, oh, that's too big, we're not going to use it.
Well, I can't imagine that all of the engineers are on this planet, like everywhere, because there was obviously engineers on the original, wherever Prometheus happened. So I don't know if they're like, well, this is going to set up for the engineers to come back from a different spot or something. But it sucked because it was just explained away like that, and that was it. Like, it was just like, okay, I don't know if the engineer story is over. Like, it was really weird. That was my only thing that was disappointing. I don't want you to take my picture. Stop. We need to take a picture of the two of us.
Anyway.
But that was my only thing that I wasn't a fan of. I enjoyed the movie. I don't care. For me, it just felt different than what I thought it was going to be. I wish the storyline had kind of progressed a little bit, but you get a little more Fassbender in it, and you get a little more of his story in it as to why, a little bit of why he's doing what he's doing, because he feels like the human race should just die. You know, they shouldn't get the chance to start all over again on a different planet when they've already ruined what they have. Because you see his kind of his birth almost. You see at the very beginning of the movie, you see him kind of come to life and start talking to a young Wayland. And he picks his name, and you know, he talks about how even though I'm gonna outlive you, Wayland, somehow I'm your subservient. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he sets the tone for him thinking that he's already better than the human race. So it's pretty cool. That is pretty cool, and it's pretty cool that, to me at least, it's pretty cool that these aliens aren't they seem to have been engineered. And they're not just some alien thing that happens to be everywhere in the fucking cosmos. Yeah. So I like that point. I thought it was good. Like I said, I think Prometheus is better storyline wise.
Don't say that.
I think it's better at doing a storytelling job. Even though Prometheus left a lot of doors open. I thought that this would continue that, and it didn't. It felt like a bridge. It didn't feel like a sequel to me. So,
okay.
I mean, I enjoyed it. There's a shit ton of face huggers killing people and the alien killing people, and there's a lot of fucking things coming out of people, and it's an alien movie.
Yeah.
More so than Prometheus was, and that's different. But it just didn't further the storyline enough for me. That's my only kind of sad note.
Like, I'm kind of bummed that, like, I just want them to finish telling the story so that I can, like, understand the whole thing.
Right.
And, I mean, that's kind of what I was hoping for, is, like, something that connected some of the dots from Prometheus to Alien. But if there's another one coming out, I mean, it is what it is. You know?
It's, man.
You keep, like, almost sneezing. Oh, yeah. Get it out. Whip out those sneezes. Ooh. One.
So it kind of sounds like there might be two more. So I don't know. It's weird. I like progression. If you're gonna do 17 sequels, at least progress the story a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Like in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Well, they're not really
drive cars fast.
I think the problem with those
For the
is
record,
they're not.
I haven't seen one of those since like the third one.
Well, I think the difference in those aren't really sequels to each other as much as they're just happening in their life.
Right.
You know, some of the plots are interconnected, and some of the people, the villains, are interconnected and things like that.
But mostly, it's
not one giant story. It's just one singular story in every movie that just happens to be in their lives for this whole amount of time.
Right.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again, and I probably will. But yeah, I thought it was good.
First season of Punisher is supposed to come out this November.
I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that. Nice.
I'm pretty excited about that.
When does Defenders come out?
I think before that. I think in
November?
Maybe
so maybe
summer.
Like October. Oh, this summer?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Let's look. Netflix Defenders.
I thought it was in like October. But I don't think the Punisher is going to have anything to do with the other things.
Probably not, but yeah, August 18th.
So 2 months later will be Punisher.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I can dig that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Like, I'm really excited to see both things. Like, I really want to see Defenders. I really want to see Punisher, so. Oh, so speaking of things happening in my birthday area. So went and talked.
In your birthday area?
Yeah, my birthday parts. The 18th is very close to my birthday as well. So talked with Justin a little bit about...
Justin Long?
No, that would be rad.
That would be cool, though.
No, from The Crest,
yes.
About the movie thing. So I gave him Mallrats and The Big Lebowski because I wanted to make sure that if like one can't happen, we have a backup.
Oh, okay? Man, so, really?
So he goes, well, who made Mallrats? So we looked it up. He's like, oh, it's Gramercy Pictures. Like, I don't have a contact for them, so I'll figure it out.
Right.
I'll get back to you. And he hasn't had a chance to get back to me yet.
You want me to have him? I can send Gramercy. I can find Gramercy fucking contacts.
Well, no, I'm letting him do it because that's what he does for a living. But then he goes, okay, so what's the backup one? I was like, well, you know, second place was The Big Lebowski. So let's, you know, you kind of use that as a backup one. He goes, oh, okay, cool. Well, let's look up who made that. Oh, Gramercy.
So that's funny.
He's working on it. That's all in the process. Like, once we get everything, like, finalized, like, we'll make a big announcement and set up an
event.
Watch
this. I'll find it right now.
So. Oh, yeah, because you have that IMDb Pro. Yeah. But if I haven't heard back from him by, like, tomorrow, like, send that info to me in a Facebook message and I'll like hit him up on Facebook or email or something. So, but anyway, like we're working on it. It'll be awesome. I'm super stoked for that. But
hopefully now you got me all worried.
No, he's working on it. Jesus, dude. He's doing his job. Trailer for Wormwood. Did you happen to see this?
No, I don't even know what that is.
All right. So let's take a pause.
Oh, okay. Am I watching it?
Yeah. So you can watch
this.
Then
we'll be right back, but you won't notice we paused.
Are we still recording or?
We're recording now.
All right. So I made you watch the trailer. Your initial reaction was that was terrible. Yeah. Why is that terrible? Okay. So Wormwood, spelled with a Y, if you're curious, it's a zombie movie, but it looks like effectively the script is flipped, where the good guys are the zombies who seem intelligent and have machine guns and stuff. It looks awesome. I think it looks great. Just super over the top, campy, violent, like
very campy.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
He said, rolling his eyes. I don't know. I think it looks awesome.
I mean, it doesn't really tell you anything. It just, you have to kind of guess. And then it doesn't make sense that she's alive and she's hanging out with dead people.
Maybe she's not alive, though, because she's able to, like, dislocate her, like, ankle and then still fight somebody by kicking them.
Yeah.
And then relocate her ankle and then run around just fine.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe
yeah.
she just looks like she's alive.
No.
No.
How come none of her friends look alive?
I don't know.
They all look dead.
I'm not in charge of that.
They all look dead.
I don't know. I think
it looks okay.
I think it looks awesome.
Looks campy.
It looks really fun. So, oh man, listening to Felicity just like chit chat with herself is super cute. Do you don't have anything else still, or?
Go ahead.
So, got through.
I'm the only one who does any kind of social media stuff anymore. So I usually post everything that I have on the Facebook page.
Once I get my new phone, which should be on Monday, I'll be able to do Instagram again.
I'll tell you that the villain for season 4 of The Flash is not a speedster, thank God. some villain called The Thinker. I have no idea, and I'm sure some people
maybe he has a quick wit.
Maybe. I don't know who it is, but I'm glad that we get a little bit of a reprieve from fast villains. Did you watch The Flash yet? Are you caught up?
So they took all of that off of Hulu, so I wasn't able to really watch Arrow or Flash or any of that stuff. So
I told you.
I know.
You don't believe me.
No, I saw. I believe you. I just don't have the money for it.
You got all kinds of money. It's just falling out your pockets.
What are you talking about?
Gabe's rich, by the way, so if anybody needs a loan,
bullshit.
Talk to Gabe. He'll flow you a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand if you're really good at giving HJs.
Well.
It's good. I actually enjoyed the season finale of The Flash.
Nice.
I was not the biggest fan of the reveal of Savitar, but it worked. I get it. But I want to ruin it because I know you're going to watch at some point. My daughter's pretending to be a ghost.
Nice.
She does that and purposefully runs into things.
That's awesome.
But it was good. The season finale of Arrow left on a giant cliffhanger, and that, though, has been very, very down this season, ended on a down note. So, but it's been like not like down like I don't like it, like down like fucking everything is horrible.
Depressing,
in that universe.
Yeah.
And you know, right now it looks like everybody's dead except for Oliver and his son. He chose to save his son, and I don't know, it's crazy. Deathstroke came back for a fucking and the last episode, and he was amazing.
Nice.
So much so that they're like, we need Deathstroke series now, like people are calling for his own series to happen. So
right.
It's good. I actually really enjoyed the last few seasons of Arrow, but it seems as though the flashbacks have caught up to real time now.
Oh, okay.
To the first season. So
right.
It seems as though you're not going to get any more flashbacks in the future seasons anymore.
Okay.
Which is, it'll be interesting to kind of see where that takes the show, because half of the show usually is dedicated to flashbacks and half of the show is dedicated to what's
going
on in real time.
Right, but they can focus on telling, like, a longer story.
Right.
So
it's pretty cool. I enjoyed that one. I'm excited for, I think, fucking Fear the Walking Dead starts here in a week or two,
yeah.
I think. I know a lot of people dog on that show, but
I really like it.
I'm
about halfway through the second season. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's good.
Like,
it's different.
Know, even independent of, like, the Walking Dead universe, it's just a good show.
You know,
like, I think the problem with it is because The Walking Dead is, like, such a juggernaut of, like, a TV show that attaching it to The Walking Dead seemed kind of like a marketing gimmick, I feel, to a lot of people, when in general it's just a really well-done show that, I mean, hopefully keeps going.
Well, and you've
cool.
got to – I mean, nobody – there was a lot of geeks who were like, The Walking Dead when it first started, you know, but that had to flesh out still. You still had to figure out who was going to be the better, you know, characters or actors or who everybody was going to like. And that's kind of where the fear is right now. Right. I really like Strand. He's probably the most intriguing person except for the drug addict. I think he's – I can't remember his name, but he's
probably one of my favorite characters in the show, too.
Those are probably the two best characters in that show so far.
Absolutely.
Because they've got this weird father-son kind of weird relationship, and they're just both great actors for what they're doing. And I just like the difference. I like, you know, The Walking – you get to a point in a series that's like 8, 9, 10, 11 seasons where you've seen the same people a lot, and it's refreshing to get a whole new set of characters that you've never seen, which I actually love about the newest seasons of The Walking Dead that people hate about it, because it's starting to explore other camps and things. Yeah, and people,
which is what I love about the comic books.
Right,
like
exactly.
The comic books, I feel like, don't even hardly hit their stride until they start meeting other groups of people. Because that's the important part. Like this, the social drama, like the fact that people are way more dangerous than the zombies at this point in their world. Like that's the best part of The Walking Dead.
Gotham has been really good.
So I'm a little behind on Gotham, but yeah, the reveal of like the Riddler kind of becoming the Riddler has been really, really cool. And like all the stuff going on with the Court of Owls.
The dynamic between him and the Penguin is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
it makes me
laugh. I love their relationship. That's probably one of my favorite relationships on a TV show. And the fact that it's like actually like the Penguin like loved him, and it's like this crazy unrequited love, and so good.
In one of the future episodes, they're – because I don't know where you are.
I think I saw the very first episode where like Nygma is like really the Riddler. Where
okay,
he's
so
like
you're already to the point where they hate each other.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the future, in some sort of set of circumstances, they get locked up together, but they don't like each other.
Right.
And Riddler's Enigma's like, all this because I didn't love you back. It's time to get over it already. And he just kind of turns his back to him. It was really
that's
funny
awesome.
The way he did it. But that's been good. I like the inclusion of the Court of Owls. I like fucking Captain Barnes. He's kind of a crazy villain. I'm past that point. I'm totally caught up. I don't think that's finaled yet.
No, I like Donald Logue's character, Jim, and why can I not remember his name?
Me neither.
Oh my god. Well, there you go, John Still.
Oh, and fucking Marika and Michael's literally going, it's this, you idiots!
Bullock, Harvey Bullock. Yes. Yes, save the day. I love Bullock as like the chief, like the interim chief, and like the whole like just he's incompetent, but he's still like keeping the police force together, and like how he like gloats every time he gets to give a speech.
Right.
And like this, it's just a fun dynamic to like see Bullock in that role.
So there's an article that I only kind of halfway read. I should have read the whole thing because Marika's yelling at me now, but there's an article that explains that this isn't Earth 1 and that it might be Earth 3, if I remember right, and that Bruce is not Batman, but he's Owlman. And so it's a cool – because to me that would make sense – because some of the things don't make sense.
Right, like Barbara Gordon is a villain.
Right. And so that makes more sense to me that we're not seeing this through the eyes of the Batman that we know, but through a different world's version of those kind of events.
So, like, is that like a fan theory? Or
yes. Okay. Yeah, it was just somebody who – it was nothing – no production people put that out or anything. But it's just – it was just somebody speculating like on some of those points. Like, well, this doesn't really fit into this. It fits more into Owlman's story and blah, blah, blah. And it was just a cool read.
That's fun.
And it – puts together some things that you know, as we as fans go, well, that doesn't really make sense. Why is she 80 years old and he's like 7 at this point in his life? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it, but it's cool. It's cool to think that in the world where we have different universes and worlds now, like that makes sense. Yeah, like it's totally plausible.
Going back a little bit to Stephen Amell and like the Arrow and stuff like that. So I think like week before last was Red Nose Day. It's like a it's like a child poverty like donation thing. And so shit, ABC or NBC, one of those. I want to say NBC on like. On the actual Red Nose Day, they do, like, special editions of TV shows as, like, fundraiser stuff.
Right.
Okay, so one of the shows...
I think it was NBC.
Yeah, I think it is NBC. So one of the shows that they did that with was a special celebrity edition of American Ninja Warrior, which Stephen Amell has, like, expressed interest in participating in several times.
Right.
You know, because what's he famous for? Fucking season one doing the Salmon Ladder, which is, like, a big part of, like, the Ninja Warrior thing. So the course that they had was like slightly easier than like the normal course, but even then like a lot of the celebrities were having their like Ninja Warrior trainer do like one or two of the obstacles for them, or right. like just straight out like skipping obstacles. And the way the fundraiser worked is, you know, each celebrity for each obstacle they passed would get like $5,000 for the charity, right? So they saved Stephen Amell for last because he was like the big draw of the right. show. You know, they've been talking about him the whole episode or whatever. So because of the training that he does for Arrow and like just how fucking jacked he is, he goes through the whole thing like it's nothing, right? Gets to the end of it and they have the whole thing set up because they're about to start filming like the new season of American Ninja Warrior.
Right.
So the second half of the obstacle course is set up and the first obstacle on the second half is the Salmon Ladder. So he's like, hey, I'm going to earn an extra $5,000 by doing one more obstacle. And he goes and like just busts out the Salmon Ladder like it's nothing. Just and all I could think to myself is when he's done with Arrow, he should totally do this show. Like he would be – he's amazing at it. Like he was really, really good. He looked exactly like any of the top tier ninjas right. look. I mean just breeze through it. Get done with the first half, immediately move on to the second half. Like, he wasn't even, like, winded. He started doing the next obstacle after that, and you could tell that, like, a production member or something was like, nope, 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 no more. That's for the next season, you know? And he just was like, hey, you know, thanks for letting me on the show, and, like, dropped into the water. Like, it was really cool to watch that his athletic ability isn't just, like, a show.
Right.
You know, like, it's his – he really – can do that shit. Like the stuff you see him do in the TV show, like, I mean, he probably legitimately could like do some crazy dive right. roll off of a moving motorcycle, you know?
He probably does a lot of his own stunts.
I bet he does. Like it was just cool to watch, like, and I fucking love Ninja Warrior anyways, so it's my favorite. So. I'm going to talk about some comic books.
No.
Yes.
We hate comics.
No, we don't.
I've got 3 boxes full of comics I have not read yet.
I have tons, and like everything's been kind of crazy for like a couple weeks, so I haven't gotten a ton read. But I read Haunted Love. It's IDW and Yo Books kind of mixture of weird love and haunted horror. So they're all... they're all pre-code horror stories that have like a romance element to them. So a lot of like
boring.
Ugh, they're sounds hilarious.
Horrible. I hate romance books.
A lot of cursed, like, you know, women cursed and witches. And my favorite one was this guy gives a like he wants this one girl so bad that he gets a potion from the gypsy woman, and the gypsy woman tells him like, this will create a bond of love between her and you that not even death can break, right? And so he gets the chick that he wants, but she's like so up his butt, like, I love you so much. Let me cook you this. Let me do this for you. Let me do that for you.
Right.
That
he gets irritated with her and like steps out on her, and she's like, it's okay, I love you, just come home, you know, it's all right if you sleep with other women, I love you. And she's so obnoxious to him that he kills her, and then her corpse just comes back and is like, I love you, come to the grave with me. And it's, I don't know, I fucking love that shit. Like, all of the Yo books that IDW is putting out are great. Like, I still would love to have Craig Yo on the show. I know I've expressed that to you a couple times.
You had to put that in writing.
I have. I did. Every time.
Put it in writing again.
Every time you ask me that, he's on the top of the list. So, but anyway, it was really, really good. And then I'm not quite done with it. But we went to the library a few days ago, and Ashton picked up a book called Monstrous. It's out on Image. I cannot remember the writer and artist's name. But so it's this world that's basically at war kind of between like humans and then these like monster hybrid people.
Okay.
The humans eat the monsters and like enslave them and stuff. And there's this one character that has all these special powers because I think I'm not 100% sure because I haven't gotten to the end of it yet, but I think she's like a half breed between like the monsters and the humans. But it's got that like French comic, like heavy metal, like kind of sexy, overly violent, like science fiction-y fantasy combined, like feel to it that's really, really cool. Like, definitely something that's right up my alley and your alley if that's the kind of stuff that you're into.
Right.
But it definitely has that like heavy metal like kind of feel where it's, you know, the art is very like line dense, you know, extremely detailed art, but almost like manga style.
Okay.
Like, kind of, it has that kind of like Asian like comic book sensibility to it. Really, really a cool book.
What's
like,
it called again?
It's called Monstrous. Like, I don't know. I really, really am enjoying it. I'm excited to see like the second volume of it. 'Cause it's just a lot of fun. Like, it's just a really good book. Really interesting. The art is phenomenal in it. Like, it's nice. Just a beautiful looking comic book. So all done in kind of like that steampunk like colorization where like a lot of like really dark blacks and like bronze colors and whites and golds and stuff. But there's this kind of element where they're in the city, everything is very bronzy and yellow and copper. And when they're outside, everything is very like dark blues and like nighttime colors. Okay. It's just, I mean, just a beautiful book, like an absolutely worth a read. Like, it's that perfect combination of like stunningly visual and like really well written that like doesn't happen super often. Like, The Walking Dead, I absolutely love it as a comic book, but like the art is, it's just telling the story. Like, right. it's very good, but it's very, you know, yeah, that's what it is.
Right.
There's very few moments where I'm reading The Walking Dead and the art just blows my mind. Like, the book is very much about the book.
Right.
You know, Saga is the opposite of that, where the writing is amazing and the art is phenomenal all at once, you know, and that's how Monstrous came around.
Did that come back?
I think so.
Because I thought it was supposed to like end.
No, that's,
and then
Shudder.
All of a sudden, was it Shudder?
It was Shudder, okay. That was supposed to end, but I think they put out one more issue or something like that, or maybe continued it. Maybe Joe Keating lied to us.
Oh, that dirty liar.
If he did, we'll have to have him on again so I can just be like, liar!
And he'll hang up on you.
Thank you for putting out more Shudders, though.
That's funny.
I only have one more thing.
Oh,
it's that special time of year for Gabe where at least 2 hours of my week is consumed with America's Got Talent.
Ugh, gross.
I fucking love that show. I love that it's just stupid variety acts and magic and like
horrible
puppets and this one guy that made it through to the next round.
Stupid judgy bitches.
A Trump impersonator that does like hip hop dance. Fucking just so much stupid, amazing, hilarious shit. Like, I love I love that kind of crazy, ridiculous, like variety show stuff.
I'm not much for. I just don't like. The only time I really like things like that is if I'm watching a cooking show. I like Cutthroat Kitchen. I like Iron Chef America. I like those kinds of things.
Right.
I just don't. I can't get into judgy things.
So I don't can't. Like,
I don't like. I don't like The Voice. I don't like America's Got Talent. I don't like the American. I don't like any of those things.
So I don't like the singing shows. And like usually the singing parts of America's Got Talent aren't that interesting to me because. Like having an amazing – so here's a perfect example of why I like America's Got Talent. There's this girl on. She's super talented singer. Like it's beautiful. It's emotional. Like everything's awesome. Like wow, that was really, really cool, right? There is this kind of like YouTube star. This guy's name is Puddles Pity Party. He does like kind of that Victorian era clown costume. Like a little gold crown,
right.
And he looks like a sad clown, all right? His bit is that he comes out and he's, you know, he talks like this and he doesn't really say very much. And hopefully the mic picked that up, you know. But
probably not.
And he does a lot of like hand gestures to like indicate what he's saying, but he's very, very quiet, right? And he doesn't say much.
Okay.
And they say, you know, what's your name? And he points at his suitcase and says, Puddles Pity Party, whatever. And then they say, well, you know, the stage is yours. And, you know, you hear some music start rolling and you're like, wow, what is this guy going to do? And it was fun because I knew what he's going to do because I've seen him on YouTube.
Right.
But it was cool to tell Mel, you know, wait till you see this. Like, this is going to be awesome. You're going to love it. He has genuinely one of the most amazing voices I've ever heard. But the difference between him and like somebody on The Voice is like it's this whole act, like it's this whole weirdly conceived like clown thing,
right?
That is accompanied by like this stunning voice, right? And like he just kills the room, everybody's on their feet, whatever.
Talking about Puddles,
yeah. Okay. I'm talking about why I like America's Got Talent over like The Voice and stuff like that.
A chicken plays the piano,
but. So he like kills the room and like that's one of the more basic like song, you know, things. The other singer that was unbelievable, this little girl, she's like 12 years old, clearly very shy, very nervous. She comes out with this ventriloquist doll that's a bunny. She is really good at ventriloquism. Like, you know, you can hardly see any movement out of her other than her taking in breaths and stuff like that. So she gets up there and she explains who she is and that she's been doing ventriloquism for 2 years and she's trying to keep the art alive. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, this is going to be – she's going to do some cute jokey stuff, right? She busts out a version of Summertime without fucking moving her lips at all, like singing through the puppet that – not only is it amazing ventriloquism, it's a fucking amazing voice. Like, and she's just an unbelievably talented singer. That variety to it, that like, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the movie. Like, I may not enjoy like singing competitions, but I enjoy the craft of what those people are doing so much that I can't help but have respect for it and love it. Like, it's just, I don't know.
How much did you cry?
A bunch. It makes me bawl like all the time too, because I'm a giant pussy. But it's just one of those things. Yeah, I am. What do you want from me?
That's okay. You can make fun of me.
I have feelings, Juan.
I don't.
I know.
You have to have a heart to have feelings, Juan.
Yeah, well, it's black, but it's there.
Why is it? Damn it. But yeah.
Because like many black things, my heart is big.
But yeah. Anyway, I love America's Got Talent.
Nice.
Every summer I get excited that America's Got Talent is going to be on.
You know what
the best part of America's Got Talent is? None of the judges are from the United States.
Yeah. He makes fun of me when we watch it because because every time they have somebody who's like doing like a dance,
like the danger acts
or whatever, I'm like, oh my god, why did your mother let you do this? Oh my god, oh my god. Oh
and
my
she's
god.
Always like, they're gonna die, they're gonna die. I'm like,
that dude almost died.
He did not. It was a trick. All I can ever think is if A, we watch it the day afterwards, so it's on Hulu. Okay, so
we probably would have heard something
if somebody died on America's Got Talent.
He got stabbed.
He didn't get stabbed. He got shot with a blunt arrow
in
the throat.
He got shot.
But
he's tricked enough.
Yeah, he had put a trumpet thing in his mouth, and the girl was supposed to shoot an arrow into the trumpet, and then he would like sword swallow it. But she like missed the trumpet, and like the blunt arrow just boom right in his throat, and he's all. And they're like, "Whoa, everybody, stop!"
They're all
I'm like, "See."
They're all get off the stage. You lost.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, like he did. they basically were like, "Well, you're not ready for this." I don't know. It was really.
You got shot in the throat. I don't know if that's supposed to happen.
I love that show. It's fun. The Daredevil acts are awesome.
No, it sounds dumb.
You're dumb. Whatever. I'm always shitting on everything I love.
That's not true.
Let's take a break while I beat the shit out of one.
All right, and then we got to talk about this stupid movie that's coming up. We don't have any. We don't have any interviews this episode. That's crazy. Weird. But you will hear us screaming through the microphones a little bit later in this episode, or you already heard it. I don't know if I'm going to put it in front or behind. We'll see.
Yeah. For the I Am Brute.
It was so loud there. Like, I wish they would. I know it's selfish because we record, but like I said earlier, even still, when you're trying to have a normal conversation, there was fucking crazy loud. It's just. It's almost like the band needs to be, like, far. And then if people want to go listen to him, cool, go listen to him. But
right.
Oh, well, what can you do? You can take us out. All right, we'll be back. Talk about this dumb movie.
Hi, this is Chris Mowry, writer of Godzilla Rulers of Earth and employee of IDW Publishing. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Adrian, and I've got a confession for you. I have issues. No, seriously, that's actually the name of my podcast, Adrian Has Issues. Each week, I sit down and geek out with some pretty awesome people, including comic book writers, artists, publishers, comedians, and more. But the fun doesn't stop there. You can also hear circus performers, Freemasons, librarians. Hell, I'll even chat with that weird neighbor of yours that sits across the street and stares at you as you enter and leave your house. You know the one I'm talking about. Visit AdrianHasIssues.com. And feel free to check me out on both iTunes and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, leave a review. I'll now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast, already in progress.
Oh, jeez. Whoa, Jesus.
Did you see the way those guys looked at us?
Who wants to go skinny dipping?
No.
We got your friend!
They captured Allison!
Oh, it's the pancakes! You hate pancakes? I'm gonna make you something else!
What am I doing here?
Fell into the water. I dove in and rescued you.
We'll go find your friends. You should relax. Tucker and Dale are on the case.
What is this place?
It's just a cabin. It doesn't mean they're psycho killers.
Then why don't you go in there and talk to them?
All right. Maybe I will. I said maybe.
Dale, what are you doing?
I'm digging a crapper hole.
You mind if I help?
He's making her dig her own grave.
There's no rules out here. It's us against them.
Oh, good look, your friends are here.
Are you okay?
Saw your friend up there. He must be allergic to bees or something because he was running like a bat out of hell.
This is a suicide pact. These kids are coming out here and they're killing themselves all over the woods.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense.
The girl that we have, she can maybe explain the whole thing.
You've got another one inside.
Oh, she's in my bedroom.
Heads up. Oh, we gotta take the safety off on the side there.
Don't do that!
Ah! Start being more careful!
Time to die, freak! Ah! Ah!
Don't use that.
Let's get you down from there.
Wait.
Sorry about that.
This vacation sucks.
And we're back.
I didn't even tell you we were ready yet, and you just threw that out there.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you just heard the trailer.
To Tucker and Dale versus Evil. So, released in 2010, directed by Eli Craig, who also did Zombieland, which is also a hilarious
movie. Wow, that was such a good movie.
We're going to yell at each other. It's going to be so awesome. Starring Tyler Labine and Andy Tudyk.
Isn't it Alan Tudyk? I was like, wait a minute. That whole thing was wrong.
All of the words are wrong. Starring Hoffhand, and Hooper, and Handhas.
So dumb. Just
call me John Travolta.
Starring I Am Groot.
starring I Am Groot. The movie, so there's really only one piece of trivia about this movie. It was shelved for 3 years before it was released. Like, they made the movie and literally didn't release it for 3 years.
Well, did it get a national release? I don't remember.
I don't think it was ever really in the theater. All I know is that one day it appeared on my Netflix. I was like, oh, I love that guy. Let's watch that. And then we watched it, and it was amazing, and I love it. So,
and it was amazing, and I love it so much, and I want to suck Alan Tudyk's cock.
Well, there is that. So
right away, I'm going to give it a middle thumb.
Okay. Before we do that, let's talk about what the movie is about.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So Tucker and Dale are two, like, rednecks.
Is it really about things? I mean,
it is about things. It's an amazing movie. So Tucker and Dale are like two, like, hillbillies, and they have bought a vacation home. Their vacation home is like a prototypical, like, stalker killer murderer shack in the middle of the woods.
This guy must have liked the news. That was funny.
So it's right next to their favorite fishing hole. Okay. The same weekend that they go up to, like, kind of inaugurate their shack, a group of, like, teenagers is also camping in the woods. So the teenagers decide, let's go skinny dipping, as teenagers in horror films are wont to do. And Tucker and Dale are like, let's go fishing, as rednecks are wont to do. Yeah. So as they're skinny dipping, they inadvertently scare this girl. She falls off of a rock and she hits her head, and they save her life and take her back to their cabin, because when her friends see them pulling her out of the water, they say, we have your friend. And there's a misunderstanding where they mean, we have your friend, we're helping her. And they think, we have your friend, we're keeping and eating her. Like, and from that point on, it's just miscommunications that involve all of the kids, like, effectively killing themselves in horrible ways, and Tucker and Dale trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And eventually the main bad guy ends up being one of the kids instead of them. So it's kind of like a role reversal of the typical, like, hillbilly in the woods murdering teenagers movie trope. So,
well, he was half hillbilly.
He is half hillbilly. Like, so let's hear your middle thumb.
That was horrible, by the way. That ending was absolutely horrendous.
It's they not hap- horrendous.
They happened to
it
go
seems,
into
a, it seems
they happened to go into
on,
a, into a fucking house that nobody's been in years, and the clipping of his father supposedly just happens to be on top.
Well, no, that guy intentionally took his friends, quote unquote friends, to that place because he's going to kill them there. Like, he's the bad guy.
See, I didn't read that in that.
Yeah, like, he's intentionally taking them back to the scene of the murder that his father committed because he wants to recreate it. Like,
but still.
You have to explain things to Juan. He's young.
To me, it seemed more, I don't think that Alan Tudyk can carry a whole movie by himself. I just don't think that he can. That's me personally.
The guy that plays Dale or Tucker is awesome, too. They're both fucking hilarious.
It has its moment. That's why I gave it a middle thumb, because I did laugh at a lot. There was funny moments,
like,
for sure.
Like, when the kid, like, pitches himself into the wood chipper. And he runs in. He's like, holy shit, Tucker, they're just tossing themselves into wood chippers. It's like some kind of crazy suicide pact.
He's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It has its moments. Don't get me wrong. I definitely think it has its funny moments. It just, I don't know. To me, it seemed like I was watching. You remember the first time you watched a scary movie? Even though that is not really all that funny either, but it seemed very spoofy. Like, that's what I felt like I was watching. And it wasn't, but it was, I just not.
So it's a play. So I think part of it is that I love horror movies, and I've been watching this is true about you too, oh, yeah. But I've been watching horror movies like crazy since I was a little kid. Oh, yeah. So what I like about it is that it takes a very typical horror movie trope, like the fucking Hills Have Eyes, Last House on the Left, like this crazed hillbilly murdering teenagers thing. And it like flip-flops it, where the teenagers are kind of the bad guys, right, and the hillbillies are the good guys. And it's not even that they're like the misunderstood bad guys. They're genuinely just two really nice dudes, right, that are in this really fucked up situation. And the story arc of Tucker's character, where he's like so nervous around girls, and like he gets to grow and form like a legitimate relationship with this girl,
right,
and like a very sweet relationship, but framed around there's this crazy murder spree happening, like murder suicide spree.
It was too over the top for me.
It was just silly and crazy and dumb and hilarious. Like, the movie's hilarious to me. Dude, you gotta stop doing blow before the episodes.
I think it's allergies, because I don't feel bad. It's just my face. I just fucking sneezy and my face itches. But it's it just was too over the top for me. I personally don't. I think Alan Tudyk is perfect in a role where he's not the leading man.
I would kind of agree with that. Like,
because I don't know the other guy. I watched the movie because I assume people watched the movie because Alan Tudyk is in it. Everybody knows who that is if you watch comedy. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I watched the movie for. I just don't think he can carry a full movie. But
well, you
like
watched
I said,
the it, movie for this, you probably right, would have right. never watched
no,
it if
never,
I wouldn't have brought this
never.
up.
I would have been like, what the fuck is? Maybe I would have, because I like watching horror movies. But then again, I would have gone into it thinking it was a horror movie and not a fucking like comedy weird. It was just too over the top. I can't, at some point, I cannot in my mind believe that six or seven teenagers are really that stupid. Like,
I know a lot of teenagers.
And I was a teenager. Like, it just is. The one dude holds a pen to try and fight out. Like, it's just like you couldn't pick up a branch off the ground.
The scene with the cop where, like, everything's going to be okay, and then the cop gets impaled on the board with fucking nails in it. Like, that shit.
And he just fucking falls. It was fun. Like I said, it definitely has its funny moments.
So much of the movie made me
laugh. It's just hard for
me
to get past the nonsense to get to the funny. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's way too over the top. The guy, she gets hit in the head with a hammer, which I've done, and she just instantly gets knocked out for 17 hours. Like, it's just so stupid. Like,
and it's like not a
signature. The javelin just impales him and the stuff. Like, it's just the circumstances of this whole thing.
That's what made it hilarious to me is the circumstances are so ridiculous.
The problem is, I'm betting that you knew more about the movie going into it.
Absolutely not.
Okay, because I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, this is too over the top.
The only thing I knew about it going into it is that it was a comedy horror.
Right.
Because that's what it said on Netflix. Like, it literally popped up on my Netflix. It said comedy horror. It starred Alan Tudyk. I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, let's do this.
Right.
Let's watch it. And it just made me laugh so fucking much that I can't ever give it a thumbs middle, because it was so funny and it was so good. And just it takes that like hillbilly murder trope, flips it on its head, and does it in like such a witty, hilarious way.
Right.
It does exactly what Zombieland did, except for the hillbilly movie instead of the zombie movie.
I don't know. I don't I don't know.
It did.
The hillbilly, Alan Tudyk and the other...
Maybe you watched The Hills Have Eyes enough times.
Alan Tudyk and the other guy were funny. That was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to ignore the nonsense that is those teenagers. And that's what takes me out of the movie.
The bees attack him and he's running around with a chainsaw like Leatherface.
That was funny. It was funny, but I just can't... I just can't get past that six or seven people are really that moronic. I don't care how fucking stupid you think. And they didn't even look like teenagers. They're fucking, they look like 20-something-year-olds.
That's part of the joke
She didn't take her heels off and just walk in the forest. Like, it's just fucking so stupid.
That's like every movie.
She kicked her heels off.
Eventually, not for a while.
She's like, I can do this, and she kicks her. But that's stupid too.
When she ties her shirt.
Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly what it was. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like I said, their parts of the movie were the best parts. I loved that.
Well, and their parts should be the best parts. It's about Tucker and Dale.
But then I get taken out of the movie by these other morons that just I don't know what bothered me.
What I'm really hoping, they're supposed to be making a sequel. Right. I hope they make a sequel that's with a Sasquatch. That's exactly what I want. Where they have,
like the Jack Link Sasquatch?
Like Tucker and Dale versus Sasquatch. That's what I want to see. I feel like there's a franchise in there somewhere. Tucker and Dale versus Sasquatch. Tucker and Dale versus the Wolfman. You know what it feels like? And I think it's part of why I like it so much. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Where like it's like a clearly silly, idiotic idea plugged into like a horror movie, and it's two things that I love: people being stupid and funny and gross. That kid tossed himself into a wood chipper and it's nasty.
And if the kids were funny, or if the kids were ironic more than they were fucking just retarded, I think it would have worked for me. It's just that every time I saw him, I was like, you're fucking more. It just made me so mad. It was just, I don't know.
So what you're saying is once your kids become teenagers, you're going to be like, get out and stop talking to me.
I loved that every injury that Dale, he's the skinnier one.
Yeah.
Every injury he had, he pours a beer on it.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
It's like
his
the
whole
cure-all.
I was like, he's gonna drink a beer, and he just
pours
fucking
it on his face. That is genuinely one of the best parts of that movie.
And they're talking around the round table, and he's like, I'm going to get a beer after they chopped his fingers off. And he doesn't say anything. He's just pouring the beer, and they're going from the round table to him, and he's just pouring the beer on his two fucking fingers.
I like his new bowling fingers.
Yes. I like that.
One looks a little different.
I love that somehow he's the only one between the two of them that ever truly gets like fucking seriously hurt.
I thought they chopped his arm off at first.
I know. It's funny. I think the movie's hilarious. So Juan gives it a solid middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm John. I give it a thumbs up.
I kind of feel like it would be something he would watch.
Yeah,
I don't know, though.
No, I'm just kidding. John would probably think it's mildly amusing.
Oh, shit.
Mel loves it.
I do too.
Sorry, I got distracted. So,
second Mel loves it too, apparently.
So we were at the movie theater, and the girl goes, enjoy your movie. And I go, thank you. I didn't say you too. Oh, man. Right. So I have the list of the other movies.
Oh, sweet. That's what I was just looking for.
So we have, we're going to say Big Lebowski and Mallrats for the end.
For the end. Why don't we do the two last ones? I'm going to pause this and we'll be right back. I'm just pausing. Okay. You just noticed that we took a break. No, you didn't. I lied. I forgot I just hit pause.
So going forward, we only have a couple recordings between now and like when our big event is supposed to happen.
So we've got two big events in between. We have Denver Comic Con is the next time we'll get together and record.
And then
me and John head off to San Diego Comic Con. So we're going to do a pop culture classic interview Denver Comic Con special. We will not do a regular – it won't be like a regular newsy episode.
Right. We're just going to talk about pop culture classics and probably just a shitload of Denver Comic Con content, which everybody wants anyway.
Right. So. And the plan right now is we may be doing a few panels, moderating a few panels, which sometimes tends to be the funniest part of panels, I think.
Yeah.
So I won't be, because that's not how Juan works.
But I will be.
But Gabe and John, John even expressed his excitement to go do that. So
it'll be
I think
awesome.
He'll
we'll
do that as well.
We'll have some good shit. Like, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited to participate in Denver Comic Con again.
It's cool. It's cool that we've talked to these people who happen to be in charge that have just been on the show, and they're like, oh yeah, you should come do these things with us. And so it's fun. It makes the con more fun.
Yeah, and it makes it feel like we're like real podcasters. Right.
Fuck so, you. We're real podcasters.
But anyway, so for Pop Culture Classic, the Denver Comic Con / Pop Culture Classic special, we're going to be doing three movies because we really only have two recordings until like our big event.
Right.
So we'll do three movies now, and then the next episode we'll do two movies, and then we'll do our big event.
No. Three and three.
Okay, and then our big event.
Yeah.
Which right now, like I told you the story, is probably
going to
be
ruined it.
Mallrats
Gabe is
or
fucking
the Big Lebowski.
It up.
I doubt it. Like, I'm hoping
I'm
going
to tweet out to Kevin Smith and be like, who do I need to talk to run a screening?
Dick do I need to suck? That'll probably get a better response from him. But
now I can't. I was going to do some special things. Now I don't know if I can do them until I know what fucking movie we're playing.
We'll figure it out quick. Don't worry. He's working on it. So we're going to do what I'm calling the Quentin Tarantino segment.
The trilogy.
Of the list that we all voted on. So first up, we'll just go oldest to new. We'll just say first up is going to be 36th Chamber of Shaolin, Shaw Brothers movie, Kung Fu classic. Like, this is, you know, an inspiration to the Wu-Tang Clan, like inspiration to Quentin Tarantino when it comes to his action film style. Like, Shaw Brothers movies are some of the best Kung Fu movies of all time. If you haven't watched a lot of Kung Fu movies, like, all of the kind of like tropes and ideas that are in every Kung Fu movie are also in this one, you know.
Maybe you watched the movie and you didn't even know they made it.
Yeah. Who knows? It's amazing. I love it. I can't wait to talk about it. Then we're going to do Bubba Hotep, which is the Bruce Campbell movie about him maybe being Elvis, maybe not, in like a nursing home fighting a mummy. Don Coscarelli movie, who made Phantasm, like, just a phenomenal director, phenomenal acting.
Horribly good movie, Phantasm.
It's Bubba Hotep is one of those movies that's like so weird that it should be terrible, but so perfectly executed that it's like amazing. Like, if you haven't seen it, absolutely, you got to watch it. And then the last one we'll be watching is Jackie Brown, which is Quentin Tarantino's third movie and probably the one that people talk about the least, because it's the least like hyperkinetic, over the top, violent movie. It's a very, for Quentin Tarantino, low key crime drama.
Right.
And it's based on a really good book that I also really like, by a guy whose name I can't remember. But yeah. What?
What the fuck is my excuse? Holy shit.
Allergies today. But really excited to see your opinion on Jackie Brown. Like, I have the feeling that you'll either absolutely really like it because it's just a low key good crime thriller, or you're going to hate it because it's like too slow and boring. I'm not sure which, but super excited for it. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. There's several ways that you can give us your thoughts on any of our pop culture classics, and we'd love to include them in the special. You can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, on Instagram or Twitter at @outsidelongbox, or you can give the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline a call at 970-573-6148. May God have mercy on Michael Kirk's soul.
So with that, we'll take a break.
And come back with some old man shit.
Yes.
Hey, this is Zach Davison, and I am listening to the excellent podcast, Thinking Outside the Long Box. Although I like to think inside the long box as well. Thank you very much.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliette Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at
people. Right, and then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time!"
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
We just came back to that.
James Ellsworth.
That is horrible.
I seriously think that would be the best plot line with Carmella, is how they have been doing those big matches
and
where
back.
It's like all of the women. I know we're back.
We're listening to Gabe talk about wrestling again.
Like, you don't fucking like it.
I love wrestling.
What I think they
I'm just
do,
narrating the speech.
Shut up.
What I really think they should do is when
Mel's
they have
yelling
those big,
and she's
like,
not even a part of this. She's going to hear that
have
later.
Ellsworth inadvertently pin one of the women so that Ellsworth becomes the women's champion for a while.
He's horrible.
It would be such an amazing plot.
No, he's horrible.
It would be so funny. Anyway, old man. So Mel was out of town.
So you brought out the porn?
Oh, yeah. No. So Mel was out of town last weekend. Was that last weekend?
Yes. Go Butcher Babes! Woo!
I hate the Butcher Babes.
No, you don't.
Excuse me?
That's my daughter. Don't.
Hey, Bailey! Bailey!
Oh, God. So stop yelling.
Stop yelling. I don't even yell that much.
You're
going to
get beat up by a 15-year-old.
Well, this is already off the rails.
Old man stories.
Ashton. He just said he hated the Butcher Babes. Excuse me, bitch.
Excuse me?
Excuse me.
Oh, wow. I love fries, by the way.
Are you tired?
No, he's tired.
My face
is itchy.
I know, it's
oh, I'm okay
he was just
with
being
that.
A sarcastic bastard. He can't help it. Yeah. Anyway, so Mexican. Mel was out of town going to Tulsa to Topeka to watch Bailey's Derby team
right
play and win, and then have an issue and not win, and then win by default. So
it was a dirty match.
Anyway, dirty they had a ton of fun. But it gave me the opportunity to do something that I don't get to do very often. My wife
not
hates,
get yelled at?
Yeah. The best part is she's right here and it's still super funny. So for some reason, my wife hates Tommy Boy.
It's
such a terrible
movie. It's weird.
I have
That's
not
weird.
I will never understand why. Like, the movie makes me laugh just relentlessly.
I don't like Chris Farley.
So Ashton goes, let's watch a movie tonight. I was like, Mom's not here. You know what we should watch? And so we sat down and watched Tommy Boy. And I think part of it is that it was such a big part of my teenage years. Like, me and the guys that I was in a band with that hung
tape,
out in high
course.
School. Yeah, on VHS. Yeah. We would watch it like over and over and over again. And just the jokes, we would reenact the jokes in public. Like one time
on a tiny coat.
I did put on a tiny coat. I did explode someone's coat one time. We did the bees thing in a grocery store parking lot one time. Like all these old people were staring at us. Like just we had so much fun just goofing around like they goofed around in the movie and like quoting the movie. And to this day, it's like one of those things where if something reminds me of Tommy Boy, I'll just start quoting the whole movie. And I mean, in general, most people think it's a funny movie. And
Most people think Chris Farley's a genius.
I wouldn't go so far as to say he's a genius as much as he's just like a big dumb idiot that happens to be really fucking hilarious.
Comedian.
He was. Like, and it bums me out that his career kind of went the way it did because
buddy they literally lived the rock star lifestyle.
I know it's just
when people sang about fucking sex, drugs, and rock and roll because that's what the fuck they were doing.
It's called Beat on the Saturday Night Live cast. I don't know, it's just it's fun. Like it's one of my favorite comedies of all time. It always makes me laugh. Like,
what's his name is funny too. It's
David
not just
Spade.
Yeah, David Spade is. It's for me. It seems like that's one of the movies where he's just kind of getting into being who he is. And I don't like a lot of the stuff he does now. And I don't know if they were just better as a duo. But
I don't think David Spade is very funny without Chris Farley.
Right.
I think Chris Farley is plenty funny without David Spade.
I don't know. Like, there was a – no, I agree with that statement. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. But he did the – Oh, you got a limp mic.
I know. Just like the motivation.
What's the, there's a.
Just like the motivational speaker skits that he did on Saturday Night Live, the living in the van down by the river. Seriously, some of the funniest shit I've ever seen, to the point where when I was in high school, we did one of those skits for a talent show one time because it's just so fucking funny. Right. Like a dude falling through a table is hilarious. Anyway, you were going to say something.
I don't remember now.
Awesome. My bad.
I love Chris Farley.
I do too.
I like everything he did. And it's sad that he went the way he went.
He
lived the kind of lifestyle that just would take him away so early.
I mean, drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. It's fun to sit down with the kids and watch Tommy Boy with them because the jokes. So Sophia watched it too, right? And we got to the who's your favorite little rascal, Alfalfa or Spanky. And Ashton and I are just dying laughing. And then Sophia looks at me and goes, "What's so funny about it?" I was like, "Nothing." Zero things are funny about this. This is no longer a funny part. Please don't ask again. I mean, it's just, they're hilarious. It's a hilarious movie. And Black Sheep was really funny too.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I don't know. Like you said, it's a bummer that Chris Farley passed away when he did and you didn't get to see any more of those movies. But holy shit, Tommy Boy's still funny. Oh, when the deer like destroys the car. He's like,
"They think it's dead."
That was awesome. Sorry about your car, though.
The 2x4.
Not so
Whoa!
Much, not so much here or here, but right here. Nah, nothing. Nothing, man. Oh, my God. What happened to your face? I knew it.
I knew it.
Tommy want wingy. So
what kind of hotel is this?
there's so many great one-liners and so many hilarious scenes in it. It just
oh, I love that movie.
If you want me to take a shit in a box and put a guarantee on it, I will. I got spare time. See, but we may be dumb, but someone right now, not two weeks from now, somebody's listening to this laughing with us because they are
also dumb.
They're saying the same quotes.
It's funny.
Bees,
it's a good
there's
movie.
Bees everywhere and they're sting crazy.
They're sting crazy.
I don't know. I love it. And it's, you know, I think part of it is I watched Tommy Boy with my dad when I was a kid because a lot of the movies that I watched when I was a kid, I would watch with my dad because he wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't watching horrible things or whatever, which backfired, you know, as per the Pulp Fiction story. But, you know.
Yo, no, this is good, Dad. I promise.
I promise. It's going to be fine. Sorry there's butt rape in it. Like, my dad loved it too, and we would do the same thing. Like every time we talked about Tommy Boy, we would sit around and we would quote the movie and like just be dumbasses and laugh and laugh and laugh. And it's fun to watch it with my son and then do the exact same thing. It's kind of like a weird little family tradition where I get to enjoy, you know.
I feel like those movies are losing their luster. With the new, not with us, with the new, I don't feel like people like that kind of comedy
screwball
as
comedy.
Much anymore.
Yeah, the slapsticky, stupid jokes. Like, I feel like there's a need for sophistication in comedy that people demand of movies now when they don't need to. Like, a movie can just be funny for funny's sake.
Right.
It doesn't have to say something important. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big deal. It doesn't have to star super famous people.
Right.
It can just be funny. Like, it's okay. It's the Baywatch discussion. It's okay for Baywatch to just be a stupid, funny, dumb movie. Like, I don't care what Harry Mauschwitz, that's the name of that critic. I fucking remember. I don't care what Harry Mauschwitz thinks of Baywatch because A, she's right. He fucking hates everything. And B, You don't need to critically review Baywatch.
Just put the notebook away. Just watch the movie.
Of course the movie's about tits and asses. It's Baywatch. Like, and of course Dwayne The Rock Johnson doesn't have the most scathing wit. He's fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The whole point of him is to be fucking hilarious on the show. So that's something I forgot to talk about in my news segment.
What? Talk about
it. So let's do this.
We're at the end of the show. Talk about whatever you want.
The season finale of Saturday Night Live.
And it's your
show. The season finale of Saturday Night Live starring Dwayne Johnson and Katy Perry was fucking amazing. That dude is seriously one of the funniest human beings alive. They did this skit where he let Juan have his sneezing fit.
Cocaine.
So he did this. He did this skit where he was bit by a scorpion. So he has the powers of a scorpion, and he's going to become a superhero named the Scorpio. And like this APB goes out and, you know, attention all superheroes, we need help at the hospital, a ton of kids are going to die. And he like shows up in like this news reporter's office, you know, I'm your friend, I used to be this guy, but now I'm the Scorpio and I'm going to go save this hospital full of kids. She goes, that is amazing. Did you make that outfit by yourself? And like the whole skit turns into him talking about his process of like hand stitching, like his costume, and she's bringing her friends in, check this out. And the one lady's all, I think you have a calling. He's like, yeah, to be a superhero. She's like, no, to be a fashion designer. And he's like doing that tight ass thing like he does in the one movie. He's like, you really think so, guys? You really think I got it? Like, it's fucking hilarious. And then he did a bit where he's doing a promo, like a wrestling promo, right, with this guy dressed as a caveman played by Bobby Moynihan, who's amazing, and I'm super bummed that he's leaving the show. But Bobby Moynihan's character is all like, you know, this Sunday at WrestleFest, I'm gonna crush your, you know, skull with my caveman club or whatever. And Dwayne Johnson's all, this guy's shooting blanks. He's been trying to get his wife pregnant for years. And like just goes like super like personal and like mean-spirited, like, you're adopted and I'm your brother. And I asked mom if she wanted to meet you, and she was like, nah, I'm all right. Like, I mean, it's like super brutal. And the guy's like, what is going on right now? Yeah, your wife's pregnant and it's mine, like, kind of stuff. It's so like, I'm my kid's own uncle and father. Like, it's so funny because it's the opposite like of wrestling,
where right,
he's being like so super honest about what's going on in this poor guy's life and just crushing his spirit. It was just a really good episode. I started watching Saturday Night Live again because the like Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump and Melissa McCarthy doing Sean Spicer and stuff was so funny that I wanted to watch it. The Sean Spicer shit still is hilarious. The Alec Baldwin, like, they need to just not do it every single week. Like,
right,
you know, do it a couple times a month and we'll be fine. Like, we get it. Donald Trump's a fucking imbecile. Bye-bye, Trump fans. Sorry.
I think we lost them a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think we lost them a long time ago.
Get over it, Michael Kirk. No,
somebody
just
said something.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
He's not a Trump fan. I know.
That would be funny.
He just loves midgets.
There's a closed Facebook group for the people who have press badges for Denver Comic Con. And
how am I not part of that yet?
Because we don't like you.
Oh, okay. Cool. Awesome.
Enough. But what, you know, somebody said, oh, you know, I'm this, what are you guys? And I was like, oh, we have a podcast, so it's mostly audio. We, you know, we try to do video every once in a while, but it doesn't go well.
Correct.
But then somebody said something about how their show had to be like down the middle to not
offend
anybody, and I didn't put it, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, fuck, we don't do any of
we
that.
Don't
give a fuck.
I cater to one person's taste only on this show, and it is fucking mine. I don't even care what you think.
If you want to listen, listen. If you don't, cool. You don't, see you later. We don't like Donald Trump. Fuck him.
He wants to build a wall, people. A wall. There's already like a giant fucking fence.
Paris? Client.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Paris.
I'm moving to fucking France.
I liked France. It was a pretty place.
I want to move to France.
It was pretty.
Yes.
It was. If you want to eat food, you should go to Germany. Yeah. Germany's food was better.
Sausages.
It was amazing.
Of course you like sausages, faggot.
Oh, wow. Invite me to the sausage party. What was, where was, oh, so anyway, Saturday Night Live, I had kind of started watching it again because of Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump, which has been hilarious. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy is fucking amazing as Sean Spicer. The little puppet bit is hilarious. Do I need to get the puppets out? And like the Segway podium is awesome. Like when she's about to get fired and she's like driving the Segway podium around New York City is unbelievable. But what has been amazing is that the ancillary cast, the actual like cast members and the skits that they've been doing have been really, really funny lately in a way that I don't remember them being funny over the last few years. Like,
I'm not a big Saturday Night Live fan myself.
I used to be like a really huge Saturday Night Live fan, like in the 90s when it was like, you know, Adam Sandler, you know, Adam Sandler, we were just talking about him, Chris Farley. David Spade,
Norm MacDonald.
Dana Carvey.
I like Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald, Dana Carvey, when Dennis
Quaid?
No. The guy that was doing Miller? Weekend Update for Dennis Miller. Yeah.
What was Dennis doing Weekend Update?
Like that stuff like was all super, super funny, you know, and then I kind of fell off of it in that era that was Will Ferrell. Like I didn't really like Will Ferrell's SNL stuff, and then Talladega Nights kind of flipped my opinion of Will Ferrell, and I went back and rewatched some of it. That era is kind of hit or miss, you know.
I'm not a giant Will Ferrell fan. It's some of his shit is okay,
quite a bit. Like,
it depends on the movie.
He tends to be really funny to me, but going into it again, they just have a lot of really solid, really funny cast members. People right. like Cecily Strong. Like I said, Bobby Moynihan's leaving. No, Cecily Strong is fucking hilarious.
He wants her to do him.
Yes. But Michael Che is really, really funny doing Weekend Update. His stand-up is ridiculously funny, too. Called Michael Che Matters, like an allusion to like he is black and his life matters. And I mean, just it's been good. I've been really, I guess it's almost like another old man pick. I used to love Saturday Night Live when I was a kid, and it's come around again. Like I've been really, really enjoying it. Like I find myself intentionally watching it, like the way Hulu
intentionally watching
it. The way Hulu is it'll autoplay stuff.
Oh,
you know, when you're done watching a show, if you're caught up with the season. So every once in a while, like, not this season, but, you know, 2-3 seasons before, I would catch one here and there and like maybe watch like half of it and, you know, I would watch it to Weekend Update and then turn it off. Yeah. You know, lately I've been seeing it come up on my Hulu and actively choosing to watch it instead of it like auto playing, right. You know, especially when I saw the Rock was on, I was like, awesome. That's what I was just about to say. The other part of it, Katy Perry, not a giant fan of her music, but she is incredibly creative. Like, you know, like that kind of brand of pop singer is, like Lady Gaga and them. They like to do like really inventive stuff.
Right.
So Katy Perry has this song called Swish Swish, which isn't really my favorite song or title of a song ever. It was kind of an obnoxious song, to be really honest with you. But it was populated very music video style with like these amazing like contortionists and like drag queens, and then this little kid named Backpack Kid who's like this 13-year-old like dance Instagram star who does this crazy weird thing with his arms for like 3 minutes. I don't know. So, just watching it was like mesmerizing because his arms look like they're not really attached to his body. Like it's
Banana and Quinn showed me how. So you take your arms and you stick your hips through
this
your
is perfect for an audio medium.
Because it's really fast. looks like he's having a fucking seizure with like.
We'll have to post a video of it. Like sure. I'll look it up and we'll post it on Facebook and talk about that. We talked about this kid today, but he's on Instagram and like he's a phenomenally weird dancer.
I can see.
Like you know how there's like hip hop dancing and like robot like pop and lock stuff. He's like this weird like robot dancer kid, but he's very awkward and like clearly like a turbo nerd, and he always has his backpack on and he wears like this weird like it kind of looks like a hijab, but it's like a sock cap that like goes under his chin and stuff too. Like
so he's just like the kid from Adventure Time?
Yes, he's just a super weird little kid that has this ability to make his body move in like the strangest way. So I don't know, it's pretty cool. So
sounded cool.
Yeah. He said Juan as he rolls his eyes. So yeah,
I've been going back and watching a lot of old stuff. I don't know why. Like I was like, oh, I should watch Desperado, and then I watched all the Sliders things, and I'm back and watching as much old shit as possible. Yes, sir.
What's your old man pick this week?
I don't have an old man pick.
Come on,
I don't. I talked about all of the stuff.
Talk about Desperado. What? You didn't talk about.
I hate Desperado.
Bullshit.
Just said you liked it.
I love Desperado. It's one of my favorite movies. I like Antonio Banderas.
The soundtrack to that movie is one of my favorite
I would do Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
When he was going to be in Expendables, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And he was fucking hilarious in the movie. Oh, it's amazing.
You know what movie I love Antonio Banderas in? Spy Kids. The first Spy Kids.
I'm not a big Spy Kids.
The first Spy Kids movie is great. The second and third one are terrible.
Didn't Jackie Chan do things like that too?
What, kids movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done tons of kids movies, like Spy Next Door and stuff
like
that. Yeah.
Something or other.
That's Spy Next Door, where he's like the nanny, but he's also a spy. And then like the little kid like accidentally finds like some hard drive full of like Russian secrets and he has to fight off ninjas and shit. Like you remember Jackie Chan Adventures, the cartoon?
No.
So Jackie Chan had his own cartoon for a little.
Oh, nice.
So it was like him and Jade, who was like his cousin, and then no, that's the old guy.
He's making I'm sorry to interrupt, but he's making a movie with Sylvester Stallone very soon. It's either him or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I cannot remember.
Nice.
It's weird. I haven't seen a Jackie Chan movie. Yeah. I haven't seen a Jackie Chan movie forever, like a new one.
I would sound horribly racist doing the entire thing, so I'm not going to, but I just totally had like the mental sound of like Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Jackie Chan all like, like, and nothing's understandable.
Do you watch every Jackie Chan has the after credits thing?
Where they show him do his stunts.
And that's where in like all the Rush Hour ones, they do the ones where he can't say lines and they're making fun of him. It's pretty funny. I like that shit.
One of the first American Jackie Chan movies I ever saw, like, and I think it's the first Jackie Chan movie I ever got to see in the theater, was Rumble in the Bronx.
Me too.
And I remember watching the after credits dumbfounded. That guy is ridiculous.
That's the one with the hovercraft, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the very first movie.
It is like the quintessential like 90s action film. Like,
none of it really makes sense.
And there's a hovercraft for like almost no reason. And like, you know, that was like, you know what this movie needs? A hovercraft. You know why?
Oh, extreme. No, I love Desperado. It was probably the first Antonio Banderas movie I ever saw. But I loved it. That was the first time I ever saw it non-televised version. I've never seen that. So
like
there was
way
more
gory.
Blood and way more cuss words than I remember. And I think I watched it because Dom tagged me in the fucking Danny Trejo's donut shop post.
Yeah.
And he's in Desperado too. And I was like, oh, I should watch Desperado again.
As the knife thrower.
Yeah,
guy.
As the guy that they kind of accidentally kill that they're not supposed to kill because he was on their team.
Yeah.
But after watching The Mariachi, I was like, this is exactly that movie. Like in that movie they killed a guy who they thought was the guy and he ended up being the wrong guy. And
so
It's like exactly the same movie, but for Americans.
So I remember, it's funny because I remember when El Mariachi came out, and we talked about like how much I watched Siskel and Ebert when I was a kid, I think last week. But when El Mariachi came out, Siskel and Ebert talked a lot about it because, I mean, Robert Rodriguez made that for like
no money,
like $5,000 you can tell. Or something like that. Absolutely. But even with no money, it's still like a really cool movie. And so, I had to special order it from the video store because it was like impossible to find.
Right.
And when I finally watched it, I was like just so blown away by like how great it was for how cheap it was that I was super excited to see whatever Robert Rodriguez made. So when Desperado got announced in the theater, I was like, Dad, you've got to take me to this. Like, remember that movie with the mariachi and he's got the guitar case full of guns and he kills everybody? And yeah, I remember. I was like, come on,
yes,
Dad.
Michael.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, come on, Dad, this is like the sequel to it. He's like, that movie was all right. I was like, dude, that movie was awesome. And he made it for like no money. And now he's got like millions of dollars to like make a sequel to that movie. And my dad's like, well, okay, let's go see it. And I remember walking out of the theater and my dad was like, that movie was amazing, mijo. He was like a Mexican superhero. He was so fucking cool, dude. Like, you can't even believe it. I want a guitar case full of guns. I was like, no. Those are
probably shouldn't be saying that out loud.
All bad ideas. All of those are bad ideas. And B, that's awesome. Like, it was like one of those really cool experiences with my dad when we both just came out of the movie like so jazzed about how awesome it
they
was.
They are almost exactly the same movie.
Yeah, they kind of suffer from that Evil Dead 1 and 2 where they're like a requel.
Right,
sort of thing.
I think it was his version of going, well, fuck, I didn't have any money when I made the first one, but now I do. So I'm going to update it. And it ended up being kind of a sequel when it's not really a sequel. But the guy who starred in El Mariachi is one of the friends that he calls when they have the big battle. So that was the only carryover from that movie to Desperado, which is really cool.
I love
Steve Buscemi. He was pretty cool in that movie too.
It's cool. Quentin Tarantino's hilarious in that movie. Danny Trejo.
So there were a bunch of
Danny Trejo's a badass. Like that's all that matters. Like he doesn't even.
Yeah, he didn't even talk.
I don't think he says words.
Just starts throwing knives at people.
Salma Hayek is unbelievably gorgeous in that. Like teenage Gabe was like, yeah.
38-year-old Gabe's like, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to get with
her. She still looks like that, too.
I know.
She doesn't
ridiculous.
Even look like she's aged.
Vampire. Which Antonio Banderas was in a different movie, Interview with a Vampire. Calm down, Mel. Jesus.
Wow.
Your boner's poking me, Mel.
Careful. It's just drywall
poke,
down
poke,
there.
Poke,
it's just
poke,
drywall.
Poke.
Oh, Tim Husky told me to touch your nipples.
Get out of here.
Tim, I'm touching him for you. Woo!
God, that was my dick.
He told me to touch it.
Oh, okay.
Fucking Tim, bastard. He didn't come. Well, maybe he did.
His girlfriend.
She's here,
town,
so maybe
so
he
guessing,
did.
And I'm guessing when she's not here, he also does.
Maybe she's on
just
Skype
while,
or something. You don't know. You don't know.
I'm so alone.
Why is he crying?
He's by himself.
Using his ketchup packets.
Hey, nothing to do with this. That chick eats a fuckload of ketchup. She put so much ketchup on her fucking plate. It's like, we need to go buy more ketchup.
Hey, not Gabe's son. I eat a lot of ketchup as well. I'm like a 5-year old.
Like I've never seen so much ketchup on a plate.
We must not have ever eaten ketchup together or something where we need ketchup because
we've never eaten ketchup together. That's weird.
Yeah. Eat some ketchup with me.
This episode brought to you by ketchup made of tomatoes, stains white clothes.
Oh, man. Are we done? Are we coming out?
Yeah, I think we're done.
I'm coming out.
Oh, so we want to thank...
I want the world to know.
We want to thank Daniel Schardner, Smurf.
Why?
Because he was on the...
Just kidding.
Wow. He was on the...
Whatever.
He was at
the... No, the last Denver Comic-Con, he was like, I'm Daniel Schardner, I'm Smurf, I'm with a real podcast.
Oh, he did say that.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Smurf.
He did say that.
Hi, by the way.
He was at the I Am Brute thing, and he was singing with the guest. So, him, I want to... Who? Did they die?
No, you know who I'm going to miss at the Comic-Con? Kenchi.
Maybe he's coming.
He might be there.
You don't know.
I would love
that. Well, reach out to him.
We're trying to wrap the show up here, Mel.
I love you, Kenchi.
Wow. Thank you to Chris Angel and Bruce McIntosh from Denver Comic-Con.
Chris Angel.
Oh, my God.
Mind freak.
She's not going to like that.
I know. That's the best part of that.
She's going to revoke all of our privileges. I know.
Press pass revoked.
John's all, because we... So when I found out, I know we're trying to end the show, but when I found out about the...
We're trying to wrap up the show.
I know. When I found out about the beer... Well, okay, so this goes back a little further, actually.
Oh, great.
So they send the email that says, you were selected to do press, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to open up... I'm going to send you... We're going to send another email for the Facebook group so that you guys can do it. And I never got the email. Never. So I was like 2 months later, I was like, hey, was I supposed to hear from you guys at some point? And then I just Facebooked it, and there it was. And I was like, can I just, like, join? Like, what's going on here? And so I joined. And in that post, there's these are the events that are coming up that you guys should go cover. And fucking the beer release party was a week away. So it was 1 week ago that I found out.
Right.
So we're scrambling to be like, oh, hey, we set up there last year. Can we do it again? Nobody said anything until like 3 days beforehand. And Chris Angel was like, I figured you guys would just come and set up anyways, no matter what anybody said.
It's so accurate. Hey, can we set up at your event? No. Fine. Fuck you. I'll just bring a portable recorder and do whatever the fuck I feel like doing.
But she's really... I love talking to her because she's so excited about the event.
Nice.
You can see just in her expression and the way she moves and talks. And I love that. That makes me excited to be a part of the event because nice. She's super excited.
You'll have to show me the secret group so that I can get rejected from it.
Yeah, you're not invited. So thanks to Chris
Angel.
There's
like entire threads of people just talking shit about me.
They don't even know who you
are. That's the best part.
But thank you to them. Thanks to everybody who stopped by. To John gave away like 6 pops, I think, that night. So you just had to come and talk to us and tell us why you deserved one and tell us why you were there and shit. And
I like that we demand people tell us why they deserve things.
Yeah.
Instead of like doing a prize, we're like, tell us why you get this.
Sorry, yeah. I'm giving you something for free.
Oh, that was like a month ago.
Oh, yeah. I still have not informed her.
We need to look that up.
I'm bad. I've had so much stuff going on.
That's more than an excuse.
It is an excuse.
It's a valid excuse, though, because I don't get anything done because of that.
But thanks to all of them, Sharner came by and he spoke. Keith came by and said hi for a little bit.
Shima Bikini.
It's funny that you say that. The first time I ever met Keith was at Denver Comic Con, I think 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
And John is like, so it must have been 3 years ago, our first year there, because he was on the recorder. And he's like, hey, Keith Shima, I can't pronounce the rest of your last name. And he's yelling at him across the fucking hallway. And Keith's like, fuck you. It was funny.
I asked him like 6 times, and I probably still butcher it.
But. I don't, it's long and Japanese or something. So
it is Japanese, yeah.
Tim actually came to the house last night, and he's like, Keith, you know, Keith. Keith, I can't say his last name. Keith is always at the like CCBE.
He's
stuff.
Cool though. He was really, really nice. He drank a few beers with us. He hung out for a little bit.
I like Keith.
The ties
hilarious.
Were there. They came by and hung
also
out with
hilarious.
Us the whole time.
He doesn't like you, Keith. I do though.
Shut up. I like you, Keith.
Smitty came.
Keith probably doesn't even listen to this show.
Smitty, Smitty came by for like 1 second and then just walked
away.
Like
a hi guys, bye.
Yeah. Like all right. Oh cool. See you later.
He hates everybody.
I don't know
except
why.
For me. I get along with them still.
I don't understand, but I mean, I had a couple friends with me there too, but I think those were the only CCB guys that we saw, and I guess Smitty's not a CCB guy anymore anyways. Dom came for a little bit.
Yay.
Dom and Raquel, Dumpies. So we got to say hi to them. And AJ came for a little bit. He nice. Said, if you source me the wood, because I want to hang our logo. I want to hang our logo somewhere, and I want him to do the
like
laser
the wood
thing
cut
for me.
Thing,
so.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be getting that soon.
Nice.
I think that's everybody that kind of showed up that I wanted to kind of mention and say thank you to for talking to us. I think that's it.
I want to thank all of the fans.
I did not see Mariko
they
or Matt.
They would not go to a beer tasting.
Oh, yeah, duh.
No?
No, not Mariko and Matt. That's not their thing. They're more of like a, you know, fetish ball, shisa porn kind of thing.
I'm sorry, Marika.
Marika's going to kick you in your ankles.
This is the best part.
She can't reach your shins.
No, she can. She's kicked me in my shins before. It fucking sucks ass.
I love her.
She's
like
an
Oompa Loompa. Fucking.
Stop. Stop now.
I don't see her, though, so you do. So.
I know. She's like, tell one.
Did you call Marika an Oompa Loompa?
No, I said she was kind of like an Oompa Loompa. Just in stature, not in color. Because she's white, and she doesn't come from Loompa Land.
Who do you want to thank?
Here? She didn't.
To wrap this up,
the vernicious canids didn't eat her people.
The vernicious canids. That's right.
Wow. I love Willy Wonka.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't have people to thank because I didn't interview.
Yeah,
anybody,
we didn't interview anybody today. I just wanted to make sure we said thank you to those people.
I'm super excited for our upcoming kind of Denver Comic Con pop culture classic special. So please look forward to that.
No news unless it's some sort of breaking, amazing
news. But we would love to hear your comments. So join us in watching Bubba Hotep, 36th Chamber of Shaolin, and Jackie Brown, or just one of them. Any comments are welcome.
Yeah. We haven't had a Michael Kirk call in a while.
Yeah, we're just super excited to have some input, and we'll post a little bit more about it than we have been lately.
If you're going to Denver Comic Con and you have a bag, you have to stand in a separate line and know that that line is going to go very slow.
Yes.
So watch that.
Fucking idiot in Portland?
So, yes. No, so they already changed the prop policy rule and all that shit, but now they have two lines. One for people who are just coming in who don't have props or bags, and then the other line. So they put out something that said, if you're going to be in that line, we're checking props, we're checing bags and everything. So it is what it is, but they didn't. Yeah, we go through the other side.
We're special.
We'll get checked as well, I'm sure, but there's less of us than there are regular. Wow.
Wow, you
she's
sound
all,
way
give
too
me a cavity search.
Gotta stick these way up your ass, Morty.
There's nothing there, but you should check anyway.
You broke my wife.
But I thought we'd throw it out there in case you're going, because it's going to be slower, I think, than it was last year.
I think all the cons are going to be like that, with just kind of the craziness.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, didn't check a damn thing. You had an ARFID in your badge, and they had these fucking things here, and you just beep, and you kind of swept in, and then you went in, and that was it.
That's nuts.
No bag checks, no nothing there. It was kind of crazy.
But with that said, we'll see you guys. Our next recording will be at Denver Comic Con.
Yep.
So we'll see you guys at Denver Comic Con. Check out those movies, 36 Chamber of Shaolin, Jackie Brown, and Bubba Hotep. We'd love to have your comments. There are tons of ways that you can get a hold of us. The easiest route to that is visit our webpage at www.totlb.com. That'll show you how to get a hold of us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, Instagram or Twitter @Instagram, or you can email us, which is the easiest way to get in contact with us if you want to be on the show or you want to do something with us in some fashion,
right.
And that is outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. Sorry, I had to my way through that.
I got you.
There are a couple different ways that you can support the show. First of all, you can go to our Patreon page.
Send me money in the mail.
At patreon.com/TOTLB. That'll give you access to our Patreon page, which we would love to have you participate with us in. Or you can go to amazon.totlb.com. It basically just takes you to a regular Amazon search page, and you can look up whatever it is that you're going to buy. And when you buy it, we get a tiny bit of a kickback. So, when I buy books, I do that. And when I just kind of whenever I do anything on Amazon, I do it.
My dildos.
My 50 gallon drum of lube.
That would get us a lot of money back, I think.
That is on Amazon. That is something that you can get. And I think you can get it ship prime, which would be hilarious.
On a semi-truck?
Yeah, pretty much. So,
That's it, I think.
Nope, that's not right. It.
Is that Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline? See, give us a call.
I'm getting there.
I know what the phone number is by heart.
Go for it.
It's 970-573-6148.
We would love to hear your opinions.
Leave your condolences.
Yeah, let us.
It's the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. Shut up.
I can't help it that he's dead.
Yeah, he's not dead in our hearts.
He's alive in our hearts and sometimes on the voicemail. we'd love
the
to hear
ghost of Michael Kirk.
we'd love to hear your comments, but the most important place that we would love to hear your comments is visit your iTunes or your Stitcher or whatever.
Oh, we were
it is.
Supposed to read those.
Oh, I brought them up on my computer because it's an Apple, and I forgot
man,
that we were going to do that.
That
we have
sucks.
A few reviews on iTunes that we need to read, and we will get to that soon. But go to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review, and then talk however much shit you want to talk about us.
5-star, I hate this show.
Yeah, 5-star, this show's awful. Like, that's, I don't care how you word it, I don't care what you say about it, just give us 5 stars. So that helps us get to the top of charts, that helps us to get onto lists. You know,
and we're doing well. We're doing much better than we used to.
Yeah. So talk about, talk about what you do and don't like about the show. But we'd love to get some more reviews on your iTunes and Stitchers. It helps us get some more exposure so that more people can enjoy the show with you. And then you can be that hipster guy that's like, well, I listened to him back in like episode 27 when they, had John on more, who definitely was the better part of the show. And, their earlier stuff is like a lot better than their like older stuff. Like the older stuff, when they kind of got more into like the pop culture-y stuff and less of the comic book stuff, it just, they kind of went off the rails. And then like when Tim started coming around, and Tim was coming around, they started talking about butt plugs and it like got funnier. But like, I just liked it more like episode 23.
I thought it was 27.
Yeah, I'm more of a grapefruiting fan than like a butt plug enthusiast fan. So I mean,
squinting his eyes and looking up.
I mean, it's just before that era of like the dildo jokes. Like, it just seemed like a stronger show.
I think there was always dildo jokes.
There was always.
I'm
dildo
not gonna.
Jokes.
Didn't even get a dildo joke in this episode.
I just told a dildo joke.
Well, but I mean, we usually start off with sex news.
Okay, so wrapping it up finally with sex news.
Hey-o!
Wizard World posted a picture of...
So many people had a fucking...
These people set up a dildo shop at Wizard World, and they're like, should this be at a Comic-Con? Who cares?
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck what's there.
They paid.
People were having a fucking heart attack. This is not comic books related. You don't know... Did you inspect all the butt plugs? There might have. There might have.
I don't want to say anything, but the picture that we put up of all of the dildos got the most comments on Facebook that we've ever gotten on anything.
Exactly. And that was superhero dildos. So, yeah, dildos belong at Comic-Cons. And
one lady even said, the Hulk one is for me. And I was like, whoa.
Good God.
All right. Okay.
The thing that I didn't get is people were like, that's just shameful. Like, it needs to be behind curtains so that kids don't see it. No kid's going to walk by that and be like, look, Dad, dildos. Like, well, I mean, our kids are a different
story.
They
might say, look, Dad, that's what Mommy has in her side drawer.
That's like Mom's shoebox.
Hey!
What? You're not the only person.
She has to rehide it. She has to rehide it.
You know, you. Let's talk about how absolutely no one would know that you have a dildo in a shoebox if you would have said nothing.
It's not just.
Oh, yeah.
It's also Gabe's penis. No.
It's also for like really crappy porno DVDs. I know, like, I just randomly
but
have...
But you can find porno everywhere.
No, I know, I just have...
It's, like, just stashed away.
I've had them forever. So what do you do with that? Like, it's not like I can take it to, like, the local Trade Smart and get, like... I am totally turning them into the Ark. That is... That is my new life goal, is to just buy cheap porno DVDs and turn them into the Ark, like, relentlessly.
They're going to be calling you. You got any more DVDs?
So, you'd be surprised how much money we're making off of those. I don't know why the guy at the art sounds like that.
I don't care, man. Like, there's jewelry things that show up at cons
there's
now.
There's all
like,
sorts of
cares?
Stuff at cons that
care.
Aren't comic book related. Who gives a shit?
Most kids won't even know
you
what
know
that shit is.
You know how many fucking fidget spinners I'm going to have to see at Denver Comic Con?
I'm going to go buy some.
I'm going
to
fucking jam them up your ass.
No, I like
you
fidget spinners.
Go to the Boys and Girls Club and take them. They confiscate 20 a day.
Nice.
It's the new yo-yo.
It's the not gosh. The new yo-yo. It's the new Pog.
It's, it's totally the new yo-yo because they have like entire YouTube videos on how to do the different tricks with them and what the difficulty levels of these tricks are. It's totally like...
I like spinners.
At some point in my life, I realized that I was
why do you hate everything?
And everything is obnoxious
why?
To me.
Why?
Fidget spinner, just take a ruler, stick your pencil in the center hole and...
What's the difference?
Like,
what's the difference? Why are you guys so
one
hate
of them
on?
Costs
why do you hate on
$7 and my
mine
kids
cost $2.
Won't leave me alone to buy one?
My Batman one cost $2.
I did okay. So I did see this. The end of this show just disappeared.
No, yeah. People are like, wait. When do I go to the next one?
So I did see a video of this guy that makes like this bronze Batman fidget spinner, and the
coolest, I saw that one too.
So the coolest part about it that I didn't think of. So the hole that he drills for the bearings are just like slightly too small for the actual bearing. So he pours liquid nitrogen on it so it'll shrink and then like kind of uses a soft mallet to pound it in place. And then when it heats back up, it expands right. into the space. That concept to me was the coolest shit ever. Like, I was like, wow, that's really neat. So
I just like, I don't know what your guys'
just like
big hang up on is it, but
just,
I just like playing with it. I do.
With a little
I do.
Kid,
just,
while you're trying to listen to something, fuck around with one of those, because I have.
Nah,
it's annoying.
Me. It's just spinny. Who cares?
It's loud and annoying when you're trying to pay attention.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You're such an old lady.
Run. Run away.
You better wrap this shit up.
With that said, this is Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm sorry, bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.